I can't believe that it's already Thursday again. It's Thursday the 6th of July. Welcome. We have our new show today all about, let's relive Shrewsbury Food Festival. We had a marvellous time. We met so many storeholders, members of the public. People really were open to having a community radio station. The vibe was incredibly positive, and you know, we gained over 27 interviews. Thank you to everybody that agreed to have an interview being done, and also our volunteers, our intuners, some of which have never done an interview before. So later in the show, you're going to hear from some of them. You're going to hear from Foy, Chris, Roy, Mel, Josh, who did his first interview with no training. Big tip of the hat to you, my man. And a few from me as well, which includes the whole kind of chef school, Jean-Christophe Novelli, an amazing interview with him, Chris as well, a couple of the other chefs down there, and also Self Help Africa. So we spoke to so many wonderful people. And our store, we had a business card draw box. And if you didn't listen last Thursday, you won't have heard who won. So without further ado, here's a quick flashback to what you would have heard last week if you tuned in. This is the winner of our free 30-second advert played for 90 days. Listen to this.
So who's the winner of our 30-second advert? Who's popped their card in our box from Shrewsbury Food Festival? The winner, as drawn, the first from the box by my son, who's about 4 years old now, is... I Can Dance Shrewsbury. So, Sarah at I Can Dance Shrewsbury, who also do the Dapper Flappers and lots of other dance things like I Can Charleston, Grease and Thriller, you are the winner. So we'll be in contact with you, and you've got a free 30-second advert that we're going to play for 90 days. It's worth about 600 quid, so, you know, it's a nice package, and we'll push you on social media too. So thanks for joining us. That's an amazing win for you.
So back to the present day, and yes, I Can Dance, you have won the advert, but no, it didn't stop there, did it? No. My son had other ideas, and well, listen, this is what happened next. Hold on, just got to do the button.
Oh, that was good, wasn't it? Oh. What? Hey? No, we've done it. We've done it now. What? Hey? No! No, we can't give away any more. Sorry? You like these? Oh, my days. Right, okay. Looks like we've had a few more drawn and people like them. So the... If we give any more... If we give three more away, that's going to be another £600 to £1,800 worth of advertising. That's £2,500. That's £2,500 of advertising we're giving away for free for 90 days. Free advertising for 90 days. Right, okay. Okay, we're a community radio station. We can do this. We've got three more winners, ladies and gentlemen. I cannot believe it, as chosen by the young ones. So if you these businesses or you know of them, they've won the adverts too. So Lavender Hampers and Gifts, you've won a free advert, 90 days. Made and Played, 30-second advert, played for 90 days. Purple Pixie, 90 days advert, made and played. And finally, The Rock Project. The Rock Project, you have also won a free advert. Made 30-second advert, made and played 90 days. We can't say fairer than that. Oh, my word. So that's £2,500 worth of advertising given away for free on InTune Radio, your local community radio in Shropshire.
I do enjoy doing this. So that's amazing. Some real great businesses have won some marvellous advertising, and we all need a bit of free advertising. Businesses, there are lots of opportunities to advertise with your local community radio station. Our reach is getting ever wider and larger. We've reached 18,000 people on Facebook in 1 week, and you align yourselves to our good cause philosophy, where we provide a free platform for charities and community groups across Shropshire. The investment is low, £25 to have an audio listing. It is not going to break the bank, and it kind of means you can begin to raise your exposure. You can invest in an advert. If you're a larger company, you can sponsor a show or run some adverts. We can work with you to look at the best combination with your budget and time. We can do regular interviews with you, and we can follow you around if you're a founding partner and you want to invest and help us on our quest for community radio in Shropshire. Then send us an email to advertise@intune-radio.co.uk. We've got some great packages, and they're all bespoke. You know, we're going to work with you and look at what's best for your company. Unfortunately, because I've got a design and marketing background, it kind of means that I can help you assess these factors and work with those internally that are responsible for your marketing endeavours. So you get a package that really suits you. We, of course, as well, need more volunteers. And if you look on our social media, you'll see the kind of volunteers that we're after. We need some office staff now, really, so we can formalise some of the great plans that we have moving forward. And that includes, new business, sales, further social media support. If you look on the listing, if you've got appropriate skills and appropriate experience and you want to get involved with your local community radio station, then you can. You know, you just need a few hours per week and some commitment. We're looking for committed people with ambition, drive, purpose, those kind of positive personality traits that really mean that we can work on projects within the radio station and get them on air so that the charities and community groups really benefit. Look, I've waffled so long. I'm coming up to 8 minutes. This is the longest intro I've ever done. There's lots of music coming up. There's 27 interviews. Listen out for Jean-Christophe Novelli, who gives us a slice of information, a nugget for the forthcoming ITV Celebrity MasterChef series that he's doing, cook-off programme. I can't remember the proper title. The interviews are with amazing storeholders and people from the public giving shout out. So listen in, and thank you for tuning in. Continue to support us. Thank you.
Join the conversation.
Hashtag listen local.
InTune Radio.
Good morning.
Hi there.
How you doing?
It's a great day, isn't it?
It is a good day. Enjoying the festival so far?
It is, yeah.
Good. Lots of people interested in what you're doing?
Yes. It's always a very busy show. In fact, actually, this morning it's a little bit cooler. We're getting even more people along today. And in fact, you can see on the stand now, we've got some regular customers.
Perfect.
Yeah, they've already got some of our
and they've
brands.
Come back.
Yeah, and they've come back for more.
They've come
is always
back
nice.
For more. That is nice, returning customers. Okay. Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing?
Well, we're probably Shropshire's only pan maker, and in truth, we're one of the few pan makers left in Britain. And we hand make spun iron pans down in the south of the county, in Highley and in Cleebury Mortimer.
Okay.
And we've been in business for about 30-odd years.
Yeah.
But in fact, most of what you're seeing here is a range that we've developed over the last 15 years.
Yeah.
And what's special about it is it's really only made from very few materials. It's black spun iron, mm-hmm. a bit of oak and a bit of brass,
mm-hmm.
and we've seasoned these pans with organic flax oil.
Yeah.
And the important part is no plastics, no chemicals, no PTFEs, no PFOA.
None of the stuff that you get in pans that you buy in a supermarket.
No.
That's good.
No.
Okay, and what's the benefit of these pans?
Well, the materials themselves perform really well.
Yeah.
And that's why they're kind of beloved by, you see the chefs on stage here.
Yeah, like they're all using these sorts of things.
Because they perform well.
Yeah.
But they're also very long-lasting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. We're not about, we don't want our pan to last 18 months. We want our pan to last 18 years.
Amazing.
So we're about sustainability.
Yeah, yeah. Because I guess there's nothing like scratch, non-stick-proof stuff on it, right? So if you can't that off.
No, what it is, we don't use these chemical non-stick coatings.
Right.
We season our pans.
Yeah.
What seasoning is baking on a layer of hard oil.
Right.
In this case, we're using organic flax oil.
Yeah.
We didn't invent this. It's a very, very traditional approach that sort of got forgotten in Britain.
Yeah. And over the years, do they wear down? Can they be like restored?
Absolutely. If you want to, if you wear out your layer of flax oil on the top of it, simply wash it very thoroughly, dry it off, a thin layer of our flax oil on the surface, put it back into the oven at maximum temperature for an hour, and it'll come out looking like new.
Amazing.
I mean, you've probably been talking to Chris Burton, the cook school over there. He's been using my pans. He's been using my woks for 15 years.
As he comes to you.
Yeah. Every now and then he gets me to straighten out when he's been throwing them around. The chefs do, but no, they're long lasting.
So if you look after the pan, it'll look after you.
Yeah,
cool.
Absolutely.
And is there any other materials you use for the pans?
For the very chefy end of the business, we make copper pans. These are crazily expensive, and they are performed. If you aspire to being a Michelin star chef,
that's what you'd
love our copper pans.
Right,
and we hand wipe those with pure tin. And pure tin is the most non-stick ingredient there is. Yeah, so crazily expensive, lovely to handle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do they have the same long-lasting life or?
Copper pan, copper will last a lifetime, and you can keep on restoring it.
So yeah,
the sort of thing where if you're a restaurant chef, you'll probably get your pans re-tinned every 3 or 4 years.
Mm.
But they're lovely to cook with. And of course, the original sauce, as in saucepans, French idea of cooking on copper using very little heat.
Okay.
Very delicate. It's sort of precision cooking.
All very interesting. So both long lasting then. One more so.
And made in Shropshire.
Made in Shropshire, made at home.
Yep.
Brilliant. All right. Thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome.
Cheers.
Join the conversation.
Hashtag listen local.
In Tune Radio.
I am here with Hannah from Mary's Meals. So at the food festival, it's absolutely amazing. How has your day been so far?
It's been so good. Yeah, loads of really lovely people around. Obviously, lots of good food. And yeah, just a really, really good day.
Wonderful. So I see you've got a lot of interaction stuff here. So you've got lots of bags, really, really cool patterns. And you've got a lovely spinny thing.
That's right.
So tell me about that. How successful have people been today?
Yeah, so it's been really nice having the spinning wheel. People can win a prize just to get people over, really, to get people over, and then we can tell people about our charity, really.
So being on the radio, so you've got listeners at home, so would you like to tell them about the charity?
Yes, I would. Hello, listeners at home. We're representing Mary's Meals, and we're a charity that it's a really simple idea, and we feed children in some of the world's poorest countries, and the whole idea is that we feed them in their place of education. So it's a double incentive. So it's an incentive for them to come to school and receive a meal, but then obviously when they're in school, because they've had a meal, they have the energy then to learn and to play.
So do you have any goals as a charity over the next year or 2 years? Or
well, to be honest, we're currently serving over 2.4 million children each day across the world, which sounds incredible, and we're so grateful for that. But there's actually currently 67 million children outside of school at the moment, so we've got lots to do. Every extra child that we can feed, we really want to do that. So we've got some big goals, because there's a lot of children outside of school that we want to get inside of school.
Oh, absolutely. So I can imagine a lot of people at home would love to help you with that goal and help the charity with that goal. So is there any way they can get involved, or where would they find you?
Absolutely, yeah. So I'm based in Shrewsbury, working for Mary's Meals. So I'm trying to recruit some local volunteers at the moment. We've got some brilliant local volunteers with us today at the Food Fest, and looking for more people just to share the story of Mary's Meals, do fundraising, obviously, but mostly just to share the story of what we do, so we can raise awareness locally of Mary's Meals.
So are you on Instagram?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, if you Google Mary's Meals, you'll find us on all of the socials, and we're marysmeals.org.uk. So absolutely, you can find us there.
That's absolutely brilliant. So hopefully we'll get an absolute influx of people.
I hope so, yeah.
Willing to help out and help that girl. So that'll be great. Thank you so much for
thank you for your time.
It's wonderful to meet you.
Yeah, you too.
And enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you, you too.
Join the conversation.
Hashtag listen local.
In Tune Radio.
I'm here with Patrick. He's a exhibitor today, and over the weekend he also raises money for Alzheimer's Society. Patrick, could you just go through what sort of fundraising you do for the society?
I drive a vintage tractor long distances. The last one I did was 750 mile from wow. Shiftland in Shropshire to Stranraer in Scotland.
Wow, very good.
3 days there, then I had a day up there doing the National Vintage Tractor Road Run. Again for their charities, and then I drove 3 days back from Stranraer back to Shiftland, arriving back on the 12th of April.
Oh well, very good. Have you got anything planned for this year or the next couple of years sort of thing?
I'm planning a route down near to Brighton for the 2024 National Vintage Tractor Road Run, which again will be 3 days down, the overnight stops, 1 day down there to do the national run, and 3 days driving home again with overnight stops. And it will probably be again for the Alzheimer's Society and possibly also breast cancer awareness.
Very nice.
Friends have one removed from cancer. So it's planning the routes, planning where we can find cheap accommodation on the way down.
Yeah. All logistics have got to be sorted first, haven't they?
Yeah, I can't use motorways. I don't want to use dual carriageways. Yeah. So it's smaller A roads, B roads, and D roads, and zigzagging rather than a straight line. So if it's 200 mile in a straight line, it's 300 mile. With the zigzag, the 250 mile with the zigzag we do to stay off the major routes and cause as little disruption to traffic as possible.
So how long have you been raising money for the society?
Doing my own runs, this was my third one. I've done probably the last 10-11 years of I've been to tractors. I've done little one weekend ones, Sunday daytime ones for various charities around Telford, Shrewsbury, Whitchurch, Mark Drayton, a few other places.
And finally, have you enjoyed your last couple of days at the Shrewsbury Food Festival?
I've enjoyed it. It's been good. I got here Friday, unloaded the tractors, went over the bridge, had a pint, and then I went home. And then I come back Saturday, had all day Saturday here, went out round Shrewsbury last night, enjoyed it. Stopped in my lorry last night, got up this morning, come on the show. Not as many people, but still a good show. Then the rains came, and it's amazing what you can see when people get wet. Not just the women, the ugly sides of the men as well. White with nothing underneath is not a good look when it gets very wet. But it's been a brilliant show. It's the second year I've been here. I'll be here again next year.
Nice.
And for as long as they keep doing it, I'll keep coming with my tractors.
Okay, cool. Thank you ever so much for your time.
If you can ask people. Keep an eye out on Facebook. The name will be changed on my Facebook page. They change it every year for each run, so it'll probably be Paddy's Mad Run, Paddy's Mad Tractor Run to Brighton for Alzheimer's.
Okay, cool.
And it'll be on the page. It's an open page. People can find it. They can join it. They can see what we're doing and see the route where we're stopping and who else will be on the run. There'll be pictures of the tractors and. Different stuff to take in, so it'd be nice to get a few more people on the page and a bit more support, a few more ideas possibly.
Thank you ever so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Join the conversation.
Hashtag listen local.
In Tune Radio.
Before we started recording, we had a little bit of a conversation with you, and you were telling us all the great work that you guys are getting up to. So could you just tell our audience a little bit more about what you get up to?
Rutherford started in 1986. With a vision to do food properly, the opposite of what supermarkets are doing. Good, tasty, organic ingredients delivered. So over the years, we have grown and a much larger market now. It's farm fresh ingredients, grown properly, sustainably. Our packaging is 100% compostable. We return it to the farm and reuse it. If we can't reuse it, we'll repair it. Or if we can't repair it, we'll compost it.
Wow.
Designed to be super sustainable. We're an 100% employee-owned organisation. So everybody is in it for the quality of the ingredients and getting the deliveries right and making sure our customers and producers are super happy. The way we do it is our producers get paid fairly for the hard work they're putting in, producing exceptional seasonal quality ingredients delivered directly to our customers.
Yeah.
It's a marvellous way of getting those ingredients into your life.
Fantastic. It sounds really, really good. And I think, especially with people in Shrewsbury and Shropshire, there's definitely a niche market for it because everybody wants people paid fairly and
absolutely.
You know, good food. And it's absolutely fantastic. So what are you hoping to gain from today then with the food festival?
Well, we're speaking to potential new customers, telling them about who we are, what we do, the ethics of how we do it, why we do it, and inviting them to try us as a service. We're very proud of the quality of our ingredients that customers will then carry on to choose using us. It's just introducing people to the idea that there is a better way of producing food than going to the mainline supermarkets. It's way more ethical. We see farming as a positive for the land rather than negative. Mass-produced food can have that negative connotation, whereas organically produced sustainable products, sustainable business is a much better way forward, we believe.
And how do we find out about you then, please?
Just Google Riverford Organic Farmers online. You'll find us across all social media channels. Look us up, get more involved and see why we do what we do.
Absolutely fantastic. Fabulous. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
That's quite all right. Thank you for your time.
Join the conversation.
Hashtag listen local.
In Tune Radio.
So, Ian, StartTech, a cybersecurity company.
Yep.
I think you've gone through some kind of new certification. Can you tell us a little bit more about the certification, who you are, why you got into cybersecurity?
Okay, I'll start with the who.
Yes.
So we've been going 23 years this year.
Oh, wow,
Very much, or were, the classic IT support provider. You know, many, many years ago, we were the guys that, you know, were the people, the go-to members of the family that fix laptops and fix problems with the IT. I joined the company in 2002 as a technician, and we provided IT support for businesses and some home users back then. And it was very much reactive. You know, the computer's broke, who do we phone to fix it? It evolved slightly where it was slightly more proactive in that we would set up regular arrangements with companies where we would visit them and maintain their systems and still be the guys that you phoned. And that's a very common blueprint for how IT support works today. We've transitioned that in the last sort of 4 years to what we call an MSP in our industry, Managed Service Provider. It's a funky name for an IT guy. The only difference is we take a far more embedded role in how we look after your IT. So the awareness we're trying to raise to business owners now is your technology does almost certainly drive your business, or if it doesn't work, it certainly stops your business. You really do need to give it some attention. And it's not just about making it reliable, because we've got the bad guys out there that want to break it, steal your data, steal your customer information. So that's where the cybersecurity element comes from, really, is being proactive at that stuff, but still being the guys that fix it when the printer won't work and the Wi-Fi's not working and all that. So we're really good at all that stuff. We've done that for many years. And then over the last few years, we've really transitioned into being the guys that help plan the way your business is going to get benefit from technology. Yeah. Back in the day, people put computers and systems into offices and businesses to make it better.
Yeah.
And over the years, it started to become a hindrance, and the IT is a problem, and the IT is this. And, it doesn't have to be like that, but you can't just buy it, plug it in, and forget about it. So we take quite a comprehensive role in working with the business to say, what have you got coming up over the next year? What are your plans? What are you doing? And we make sure that, it's a bit of a cliche in the industry, but we are your IT team.
Uh-huh.
We're just not down the corridor, but we want to be part of your meetings. We want to be embedded in you as much as we can, so we can do a really good job.
Yes.
And we'll bring the expertise on what's going on in the world of scary cyber and all this horrible stuff we see in the news. We'll make sure that you've got a feed to trusted information on that. And more recently, it was a week ago, we qualified for the latest national cyber, this is a mouthful, so I shall try and get this right in one go, the National Cyber Security Centre Assured Service Provider.
Wow.
In a nutshell, anybody can start an IT company and call themselves a professional. We're not regulated in any way.
Yeah,
and we should be, for all the reasons I just said about the importance of technology in a business. We've voluntarily done this. It's not forced upon us. I think in the years to come, I hope our industry is regulated and people are checked and monitored. So we've taken the front foot. We believe, we've been told by several reliable sources, we're the second company in the UK to be certified for this outside of some certification body. So we're really, really proud about that. And the reason we've done it is we wanted the evidence that sets us apart. You know, everybody's got their IT company they use for years and they're fine. And if they're doing a good job, that is great. And there's lots of great, great IT companies out there. What we want is a benchmark. We want a standardization so that everybody should be getting a base level of trusted advice. And then it's all about the personality and the deliverables and the way that company chooses to operate on top of that. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what we've embraced quite seriously with two hands of late, to be honest with you. Yeah. And that's why we are where we are today.
So just talk us through that kind of certification process, because if you are the second company in the UK to do it, presumably the reason why some other companies haven't done it is, I'm guessing it's tough. It takes a long time.
It's brand new. We're really proactive in our industry and we attend a lot of events, we listen to a lot of other experts. We're a very, very collaborative industry, the IT industry. A lot of other industries, you know, they're people are competitors, they're rivals, they're the other guys. And we don't really, most businesses in the IT world, And I think it's because there's more than enough work for the IT guys to be getting on with, because every business needs IT. So let's not fall out about it. And on top of that, we have to deal with the bad guys trying to break into people's systems. So the guys defending the stuff do need to support each other. Whereas a lot of other professions, it's us versus them and who's the customer going to work with. It's a bit more of a triangle effect, I think, in the IT sector. So the certification was something we found out just over 3 months ago. As soon as I heard about it, I remember it clear as day. I was nudging the two guys with me. I was like, we are getting this. I love this. This is the beginning of regulation and it's what I want. So we had a few things that helped us. We were already a lot of it's to do with compliance. A lot of people think cybersecurity, you spend tens of thousands of pounds buying widgets and gadgets and stuff. And don't get me wrong, there's a time for that. A lot of it's just making sure you know what's going on with your data. You have policies and procedures for when people join your business, leave your business. Know that you're staying on point with stuff. So a huge amount of what we had to demonstrate was that we don't just sell the toys, we actually deliver the advice as well. So we had to do various assessments and accreditations and stack them up. And when you complete the set, if you like, you get this badge that says you're certified to this. We also need staff that are specifically trained with certain qualifications within our business. It's a bit of a chicken and egg. You have to have the staff and the business have to be this. And when the two powers combine, you're the assured service provider. Was it tough? It was tough, but it's probably tough because it's new and the certification body we're working with, we're still ironing out the kinks. It's not so tough as any IT provider should be shirking it and not embracing it. We're lucky enough that we're a big enough size that we could actually spend some money on this and invest it, because it needed a bit of that to get us over the line. I think in coming years, I think it will be a requirement from certain businesses to say, we'll only work with a provider that has the following. So, you know, being sensible in the way I run my business, I want to make sure we tick those boxes before somebody comes needing us to tick the boxes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. So if I'm a business listening to this now and I've got some concerns about my tech, and maybe I've got, I don't know, say 5 to 15 staff members. Are you the kind of company that I can get in contact with?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we work with businesses typically from sort of 10 users up to 400 users, one of our biggest clients is at now, because the fundamentals are the same. What a lot of people think is, we're too small to be hacked. We're too small for this. There's not this mythical image of someone in a hoodie in a dark bedroom trying to hack into systems. There is a bit of that element here, but to find the holes in businesses' infrastructure, they're not sitting there going down a list one day of targeting businesses. They have tools that just try and get into any business anywhere. Yeah. They don't discriminate on size, and every business will, you know, can be held to ransom and may or may not pay something and things like that. So we work with all businesses, really, typically from 10 users and above. You tend to find the smaller businesses usually are working in the confines of basic IT support. But the advice, and we're going to be putting on various, we've actually got something penciled in for September at Shrewsbury Theatre, where we're going to invite business owners in. It's not a sales pitch, it's not anything, it's an education thing. Go back to your IT guys, whether they be internal or external, and ask them about what you're doing about this. And if you need some advice, here's all the links on the internet to the government sites, to other sites. The trouble with IT guys is, you put 10 of us in a room, we won't agree on anything because we all do it a different way. There's a million ways to skin a cat.
Yeah,
and most of them are probably right. They're just, it's horses for courses. But to businesses need a trusted way of knowing that the guys I'm working with are legit in some way, shape or form. Interestingly, the biggest pushback I get within our industry is we need more guidance from the government. We need something that makes us stand out. And, you know, I've been literally at something the other day and I'm there putting my hand up going, well, we've got the new assured service provider scheme. Yeah, but I don't think the government should be choosing how we regulate ourselves. We should do it from within the industry. I'm like, well, that's not how it works. Do you know what I mean? It needs to be an impartial framework. Of course, we can contribute to it. It'll evolve over time. But it really does need that. Going back to the point you were raising, businesses of basically any size, we're happy to give advice to. Sometimes they're a good fit for us client-wise. Sometimes it's a case of, here's a load of information, a load of support, and we can, you know, come back and get our newsletter, YouTube channel, all that. There's good stuff on there.
Yeah.
Probably the key thing I'm there to stress is a lot of it doesn't cost money. You know, it breaks my heart every time I hear a story of a small business and something like that. People put blood, sweat, and tears into building up small businesses. One mistake because they underspec some IT or they didn't tick a... they got annoyed by the turn multi-factor authentication on box and they kept ignoring it. Well, it's worth doing.
Yeah.
It probably costs nothing. Most tools have the facilities to be secure. Unfortunately, they leave it up to the end user to decide whether to lock the door, and it should be educated into people.
I like the fact that it's a proactive journey that you take your clients on, and you're looking to the future, and you're also embracing what is needed in your industry, and probably needed in many industries. I work in the design industry, and there's no legislation in place, so anybody could call themselves a web designer or a graphic designer and equally do more harm than good.
Absolutely.
So it really is interesting that you've taken the bull by the horn, so to speak, and wrestled the beast down.
It stops us bickering. You know, the trouble with a lot of IT businesses, and I'm one of them, I'm a tech come business owner. And the tech bit never leaves you. So we love playing with the toys, and we love how fast is the internet at this place and how good is the Wi-Fi. We love that sense of, you know, that's a common trait in your typical IT guy. It takes quite a bit to transition away from that and go, that's great and that's fun, but that doesn't equal security. And we don't like being told us IT guys, you know, where we've probably been raised with a pat on the back a few times of how clever we are and how good we are at IT. So we don't like it when people tell us, well, we're not very good, we should follow a government framework. But I'm afraid we need to start following. Cyber Essentials is one available to all small businesses, and we absolutely love it. We think every business should absolutely follow it.
Yes.
The pushback I get is other IT vendors saying, it's not perfect, it's not the complete framework, it's not this. I agree, but it's a baseline. The more people we can get on, it reduces the risk of a cyber attack to your business by 80%. So it's not perfect, but an 80% reduction is an 80% reduction.
Yeah, it's very true.
And it's not usually an expense. It's just tick some boxes, change some systems, think about your data.
Wonderful. So people want to get hold of you, Ian, and find out a little bit more. Do you offer a consultation?
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. So best way to get hold of us is just come through our website and just find the contact form or sign up to our newsletter. Or pick up, you know, we still use phones, would you believe? We're not too, you know, we haven't gone that far down the road. And yes, we will do IT assessments for a business. We can do Cyber Essentials readiness support to help you figure out, you know, how far away are we from this? And that's a really good exercise because 9 times out of 10, you're not very far away from it. You get a bit of pushback with, well, I don't want to have to use a different password for every website. A little bit of education on why that's deadly. People use a different password on every website. So absolutely, find us online. We've got YouTube channel. It's just starttech.co.uk, StartTech in YouTube. Same with Instagram, Facebook. You'll find us. We're pretty well indexed everywhere.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Ian.
No problem.
Enjoy the rest of the festival.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Join the conversation.
# listen local.
In Tune Radio.
Good afternoon, Claudia.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
Good. How's the festival been for you?
Really good. Even the rain today wasn't too much of a rip.
A bit of a washout, but it has cleared up and the crowds have come back.
Yes.
That's the good thing. So you're here on the stall for Shropshire Woodcarvers. Can you tell us a little bit about what Shropshire Woodcarvers do?
We're a club of amateurs.
Yeah.
And the club's been going for about 30 years, meeting in Ponsbury on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
But actually, as from September, we're going to move to the man's shed on the county showground.
Okay. Awesome.
So we meet Thursday nights, 7 to 9. And once a month, we have a Saturday session all day, 10 to 4.
Yeah.
And every other Saturday, we have a master carver coming. Giving us some tuition in special features.
So it's a group of people who have got an interest in wood carving, who haven't done it before.
But some have done it for years.
Yeah.
And then some have actually been carving for 30 years.
And those are the people that teach the new people how to do
it.
Yeah. Okay.
You get tuition when you start.
Yeah.
nothing too formal.
Yeah.
And you choose what you want to do afterwards.
Yeah.
Inspiration can come from books or yeah. figurine you may have seen. Some come up with really quirky ideas.
So you have a creative license to create whatever you like?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
cool.
You can do whatever you like. And you can buy the wood through the club.
Yeah.
There is a limited wood store.
Yeah.
But also there are other sources of wood, like somebody may bring in a load full of yew trunks that he's been given and then share it out. It's a really friendly club.
So different types of wood.
Different types of wood. We do start with lime wood, which is soft and relatively easy to carve.
Oh, and that's good for starters.
That is good for starters. And lime wood is what medieval churches, the world famous carvings were made of, like Tilman Rieder, Schneider.
Very
they
cool.
They use lime wood.
Yeah.
And then you can do whatever you like. Some do figurines,
what sort of
animal shapes.
What sort of things have we got on display today?
We've got some relief carvings, which means that it is on the flat and then worked out just in relief. We have got some very elaborate carvings on the left there, some figurines, which were done with inspiration from China or resin figurines.
It's an immense skill. I mean, look at some of these are quite interesting, quite intricate.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of practice to get that.
Lots of people today and yesterday were saying, oh, I'm not artistic enough, but I wouldn't consider myself to be particularly artistic.
Yeah.
But I think you learn on the job.
And you take the inspiration.
You can take the inspiration, and the more techniques you master, the more you can actually do, you gain in confidence.
Yeah, you practice makes perfect.
Exactly.
Yeah, and how many years have you been doing it?
Just a year.
Just a year, and you're enjoying it so far?
Very much, yes.
Good. And is this the first time you've been at the food festival?
With the wood carvers.
Yeah.
It is the first time.
First time.
For me.
And will the wood carvers be back again next year, do you think?
I should think so, yes.
Good, that's good to hear. So you've had a productive weekend.
A steady trickle of interest.
Lovely.
People were coming in. It wasn't too crowded, so we could actually talk to everybody who came. And I think we spread our enthusiasm for the craft.
That's good to hear. All right. Thank you so much for your time. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Cheers.
You too.
Join the conversation.
# listen local.
In Tune Radio.
So your name is
Sarah Bright,
and what is the name of the production?
Our performance group is called the Dapper Flappers, and then I run a dance business called I Can Dance Shrewsbury. So part of that is Charleston.
Yeah.
And we do Bollywood, and we do lots of different workshops.
Okay.
Basically, just to get people enjoying dance, getting together for a social, and just uplifting dance experiences.
Yeah, and I've seen you in action today, and I can't believe how energetic the Charleston is. Viewing it,
you kind of do need to have your Weetabix. it's lively. Yeah,
yeah.
And the Charleston essentially when it started 20s was all about having a good time, lifting people's spirits. So it is really energetic, but in our class. Obviously, all the performances that we've done today have all been taught step by step.
Yeah.
So it's not like if you were to come to a class, it's not ongoing exercise. Choreography is broken down, and then we keep building on it. So over a 5-week period, you learn a routine, and then you've got essentially a performance routine. To sort of perform, and we always film them, we share them on social media. So and it's just a really social class. A lot of people go on holiday together.
But to get away from the class, another holiday too.
And that is part of it, it's exercise, it's good endorphins, it's creative.
It's good for mental.
It's mental well-being, isn't
absolutely.
It? And that release that sometimes we all need in the week, midweek, and you just leave feeling better than you did when you came in, obviously.
It sounds really exciting. So if somebody wanted to get involved or find out more, you've got a website, presumably.
Yeah, so it's I Can Dance Shrewsbury, and you'll find information about the classes and workshops that we do. So every Thursday at the Morris Hall, we do the Charleston classes. And then at the moment, I'm running a monthly Bollywood workshop.
Yes.
So that's really banger-infused. And then we do workshops like I Can Beyonce, I shape and dance 90s throwbacks.
Yeah.
So there's lots of themed workshops as well that prop up. And then I obviously, if anyone wants to have a workshop for a birthday party or hen party, I work with them to put together a themed workshop for friends to get together.
Wow, okay.
And drink and dance.
Yes, drink and dance. Well, it's just fabulous. And you're here to provide entertainment, presumably, at the festival.
Yeah, so part of the classes, there's now a performance group that we've got called the Dapper Flappers. So we all dress up in 20s gear and glam it up. And then, at local festivals, we perform the routines that we've been practicing in class, and it's just again a good extension of building your confidence in class and then showing off what you've got dance wise.
Yeah, and people really enjoyed it. As soon as you started, the crowds gravitated. It was fantastic to see a diverse age range of people.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, and it looked like a real cool thing to be part of, so well done.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? It's getting a bit of a tribe together. But people who come to the class are sort of generally like late 20s to, I don't like to ask, but I think mid-60s, but they don't look it anyway. We're a real mix. And it's just very accessible, and that's what dance should be, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
To be enjoyed. Yes.
Wonderful.
Come along.
Yes. Well, thank you for taking a few minutes out. I know that you've got a few other performances in different areas, so I'll let you crack on.
Thank you.
But it was just wonderful to see, and people find out more, I think, about dancing in some of your groups locally. Let's do it.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Absolute pleasure.
Join the conversation.
Hashtag Listen Local.
In Tune Radio.
So I am talking here with Lucy Mason from the Woodland Trust. So I can see from your table there's a lot of brilliant sort of graphics and books out that people can read. So obviously with Woodland Trust, you're looking at ancient woodlands, so trees around the UK. So what are sort of the major impacts that are threatening trees, woodlands in the UK at the moment?
So one of the issues that we have is that we are one of the most deforested nations in Europe, if not the most deforested. We've lost our trees over the years to various other uses, as it were, and we need to do something about that. The European average woodland cover is about 38%, whereas we are down at a total of 13.5%, which is, and only half of that is native woodland, and an even smaller percentage is ancient woodland, which is our most precious and biodiverse habitat. So that's the issue that we're faced with. And then of course we've got the current threat is largely infrastructure. A lot of planning applications don't realise the importance of ancient woodland, and they are getting destroyed. And so we are trying to stand up for those ancient woods. We're not against infrastructure per se, but some of the routes that are chosen are not taking into account this most precious of our habitats, which is irreplaceable. So our focus is on that kind of project. We try and save woods that we can. The other issue that we've got going on, of course, is climate change. That's stressing our trees. We plant native trees for the future, but we are, of course, constantly looking at which of those native trees are going to cope with the stresses of climate change as the temperature warms. And as a plan B, I guess we're looking at whether we might have to look at other species, but we are very much native tree people. So if we can stick with native trees, that's very much where we are at the moment. But of course, we keep an open mind.
Amazing. So with climate change, obviously, it's quite depressing. Everything's getting worse, temperature's rising. But I know that you have goals at the Woodland Trust to plant a certain amount of trees a year. So can you tell me how many you've planted so far and how many you plan to by a certain date?
Yeah, absolutely. So we were 50 years old last year, and in those first 50 years, we managed to plant 55 million native trees across the UK, which helped significantly to stop the UK being permanently in deforestation. I dread to think where we would have been had we not done that. But we've got to ramp it up now because we are so deforested, and we've got all the joint biodiversity crisis and climate crisis. So we are pledging to get another 50 million trees in the ground if we possibly can by 2030.
Amazing. So everyone listening at home that would like to get involved, could you tell us how they can help maybe reach that pledge or help out with the Woodland Trust?
Absolutely. So we have volunteer opportunities. We have You can sign petitions, etc., to save what we've got. Ultimately, we hope to gain new members because that's our lifeblood. That's who keep us going. And if you're interested, the great thing about becoming a Woodland Trust member is that you know you're putting your money and your heart where we do things properly. I'm sure we make mistakes like everybody does. We're human, but we try really hard to put the right tree in the right place. So we're conservationists in the round. We're not just about peppering the countryside with trees, and we're not about not looking after those trees once they're planted. We want to see them thrive and become the woods of tomorrow.
Amazing. So on that positive note, I can see a few people mulling around your store, waiting to become members, just like probably many people at home. So I will leave you to it. You enjoy the rest of the day at the Food Festival, and I will give you a wave as I walk by later on.
Lovely. Thanks so much.
Join the conversation.
Hashtag listen local.
In Tune Radio.
Hello there, my name is Ryan, I'm with In Tune Radio. I'm stood at the Shrewsbury Food Festival on Saturday. I'm stood outside a lovely little marquee with the Rock Project, a school of pop and rock. And I'm sat here with Lisa.
That's correct. Okay, well, the Rock Project, we've been going for quite some time now. We've actually been going for around about sort of 8 years. We run sessions in Shrewsbury and we teach young students between 7 and 11. Seniors between 12 and 17, and we do our adult sessions, which are so popular. It's a good escape for adults to come down, get it out of their system if they've had a bad day, and get thrashing away on them drums and twanging on guitars. Obviously, we put all the songs together that they actually learn, and then we get to go and do a gig with them out into the public, and that's really great for confidence building and getting a few beers in as well with the adults, not with the young ones, but with the adults.
I'm sorry, I like that idea.
Yeah, so do I. The only problem is when they keep saying, would you like two hot, like a half a beer, which is fine, but when you get it repeatedly, not so good, is it?
So you've got quite a lot of electrical equipment, some guitars, some drums. You're going to be playing some live music?
Well, we're going to be getting the drums, bass and guitars plugged in. And basically, people are going to be able to come along and have a little try on the instruments themselves, just to see if they like it. I'm going to be here to show them how to play the instruments to a degree, to get them going. Lisa's going to be on the drums. So we're just going to have some fun, making a little bit of noise. Maybe we might do a little sneaky few numbers. We're going to see how it goes. That's a surprise.
That sounds amazing.
Are you going to come along and have a go?
I might have to come over.
I think you look like a bass player to me. Maybe drums?
To be honest, I've always fancied the drums.
Well, okay. If you prefer Lisa to me, that's fine.
No. Bass. I'll stick with bass then. Just for you. So have you got Facebook?
Yeah. If you go on the Rock Project Shrewsbury page, we've got lots of gumph on there. Lots of videos, lots of information. We put a couple of like little recommendations on there two or three times a week, some fun interactive stuff. We also have got the Rock Project Telford page as well, because we run in both areas, and hopefully we get all the people in between as well. So that's pretty cool. So if you think, oh, I can't come to Shrewsbury, that's fine, come to Telford. We're quite happy either one. So Shrewsbury's on Mondays, Telford's on Wednesdays. Just all you need to do, send me an email, give me a call, I'll have a chat with you, we'll get you booked in for a free 2-hour taster. And if you like it, you can carry on, and if you don't, you've just had a nice experience.
It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah? Are you coming?
I might have to. I might have to ask the missus.
Yes, please.
Come down. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Okay, thank you. Right.
Join the conversation.
Hashtag listen local.
In Tune Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am joined by the rock and pop music lesson students. How are you getting on today?
Very good, thanks. Yeah,
yeah, enjoying nice the festival so far?
Very good festival as always, yes. Yeah. Yeah, enjoying it.
First time here or?
No, it's our second time here.
Second
for us, yeah.
Brill.
Project's been here a few times.
But so you're the students of the rock and pop music lesson. So what is it that you're learning at the moment?
Well, you can learn four things. You can learn vocals, which is what myself and James do, guitar, bass and drums,
Yeah.
So, play a variety of music.
So you get to try them all, and then you sort of pick which one.
You choose which one you want in advance.
Yeah.
I like the tip.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's movement as well.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, so you can swap. If you fancy giving something else a try, you can always try something else.
That's
okay,
right,
cool. And how long have you been doing it for?
Well, I've been doing it for 8 years now, so yeah, it's just one of those addictive things that you just keep doing.
Yeah, I've been doing, you can't stop.
Yeah, definitely.
I've been doing it for five.
I've been doing it for about three.
3 years. Okay, that's really cool. That's really cool. And what are you working on at the moment? What are you sort of learning?
We're doing a variety of songs. We're doing everything from sort of The Killers, REM, through to Boston and
AC/DC
we've done. I made, you know, sort of
the whole
spectrum of the rock projects. So.
I mean, anybody can suggest what they want to do within reason, and they'll try and incorporate as many different songs as possible.
Yes, it's something for everyone, really. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Work school term, don't you? And then at the end of the thing, you do a big gig together.
Awesome. Where do you get to do those gigs?
We've done them at the variety of places. Our next place is the Havana. By the Abbey,
yeah.
Done the hole in the wall,
yeah. The prison, and
the Shrewsbury prison.
Big bus,
yeah. Cool. Yeah, the big bus. Yeah. Yeah, we did that.
What sort of audiences do you get for those?
A variety, really. So
yeah,
you get quite a few people, don't
yes,
we? Really,
yeah.
Obviously, family come along to watch you. So,
I'd be so nervous doing it. You're used to it now.
No, I mean, I love it actually.
You enjoy it.
Yeah, but if you see people enjoying it, then yeah.
It's just really how supportive everybody is, you know. There's nobody that's going to make you do anything you don't want to do, so you can feel a bit more relaxed.
Yeah, exactly. You do what you want to do.
The tutors are absolutely brilliant.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Really nice people.
All the bands themselves and a lot of experience, you know.
Yeah.
Experience,
lots to learn from them.
Very much so, yes.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And from each other, I'm sure, as you progress through.
Yes, yeah, that's right.
And try different things.
We cater for all sort of abilities, people who just started through to people who haven't played for a long time and are desperate to get back in a band. And a lot of people buy a guitar, for example, and play it at home, but it's never the same as playing it in a band, which is what
getting together
what
with groups of people and that's what it's all about.
For children, it's absolutely brilliant because it gives them so much confidence.
It does. Yes. It's a good confidence builder, and it gets people out there. You meet new people and learn new skills, so it's really good. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
It's a very good rock project. I mean, it's won awards for the best rock project in the country, and Lisa and Lisa run it absolutely brilliant.
Congratulations.
Don't they?
That's really good to hear.
Really good.
That's really good to hear. And where can we find out more about you?
Well, if you look on a Facebook page for the Rock Project Shrewsbury, they're also in Telford, locally here in Shropshire as well. And the details on there you can contact, and people can have a first lesson as a free taster just to see.
Oh, there you go.
Is what they want to do.
It's for them.
Before they make any commitments.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, and then you just commit to the one term, and then. But many of us keep coming back and back. It really is that good.
Addictive.
Yeah, very much so.
All right, super cool. Thank you all very much for your time.
No problem.
Join the conversation.
# listen local.
In Tune Radio.
Gemma, hi.
Hi.
We are at Shrewsbury Food Festival. You've done some festivals before. You are Race Against Blood Cancer. Can you tell me a little bit more about what you do and why you're here?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so I'm Gemma and I'm Community Engagement Manager at Race Against Blood Cancer. So what we do is we attend events and raise awareness of blood cancer and get as many people signed up to the blood stem cell register as possible to give hope to those that are living with blood cancer. Really simple process. All you do is fill out a form, do a few cheek swabs. They're sent to our lab and analysed, and then you're popped onto the register and you just wait to see whether you're called up to be a match. It's easy as that.
Wow. And then what happens there? How would somebody contact you, and in what instance would you be contacted?
Yeah, so like myself, I've been on the register 7 years, never been called up to be a match.
Yes.
But it's really simple. They contact you via phone, email, if you are a match. You'd then go to your local GP, do a blood test to see whether you are going to be a 10 out of 10 match for that patient. If you are, there's two processes that you could go for. There's either 90% of the time it's just like giving blood. You're hooked up to a machine, the blood comes out of one arm, they filter out the stem cells they need, and then the blood goes back in the other arm. Or 10% of the time it's through bone marrow collection. So that is under general anaesthetic and it's taken from your hip bone.
Yes.
People I know that have had it done say it's a little bit painful, but you're going to save a life. So
yeah.
It's a good thing.
Well, this is amazing. So I mean, you could be on the register for the rest of your life then, presumably, until...
You're on the register, you're 61 years old.
Okay.
So you can sign up from 16 to 55.
Yes. And you attend festivals. Do you find that this is a good opportunity, therefore, for you in this environment to boost people on the list?
Absolutely, because it's a great footfall of people, isn't it? And people from all diverse backgrounds as well. Because that is, as a charity, our aim is to increase the diversity on the stem cell register, because if you are from a Black, Asian, minority ethnicity, you've got 20% less chance of finding a match.
Yeah.
So it's really important that we go everywhere to try and raise awareness and get those all-important donors.
Wonderful. Well, look, thank you for joining me this morning. Yeah. My fingers are crossed for the rest of the time that you're here, that you're boosting your register. And I think I'm going to sign up myself, and I'm sure our team will sign up too.
Fantastic.
So thank you very much,
Gemma. Thank you. Take care.
And you.
Join the conversation.
Hashtag listen local.
In Tune Radio.
So I am here with Andrew Richards from Textures of Cogni Earth. So tell me a bit about yourself.
Hi there, yeah. Well, what I am is a potter, and I've been a potter for 38 years of my life, so... In the 80s, I used to throw 500, 800 pots a day and supply most cook shops in Britain. Now, in my later days, 58, what I do is I go around the mountains of Britain, collect the rocks, heat treat them, crush them, and make them into a powder. So on my stand here, you've got Snowdon, which is Snowdon quartz, and that's running down and rivuletting over the copper from Anglesey.
So copper
and
then will turn it sort of
copper
blue.
Will go blue, and it'll go red, and it'll go green. So in the kiln, you've got different atmospheres that create different effects from the wood and from the gas that you're firing in the kiln, reducing the oxygen or increasing the oxygen. You've also got stones that are impregnated inside the pots as well, so pieces of the mountains collected, and then they're put and they're on the surface of the pots. So it's very much chemistry, geology and history. 400 million year old rocks creates the glazes that I make.
Absolutely beautiful. So you can see some with lots of blue, lots of sort of purple tones, sort of red undertones as well. So would you say these are more art pieces, or would you say they're more of a practical use?
Well, you can function as well. So although the jugs look very beautiful with the reds and with the blacks and then with the rivulets of the white coming down, they're oven, microwave and dishwasher proof. So basically people use them for gin and tonics, they'll use them for gravy, they'll use them for mulled wine. Or they'll use my cookware there, which the cookware is oven, microwave, dishwasher proof. So it's quite a big range.
Pretty much anything.
Yeah. And my website's www.ajrpotter.com. But I mainly sell through the fairs and through the food festivals.
Amazing. So we're at the food festival today, but where will you be next? Where's your next port?
The next one is the Great British Food Festival, which will be in Hertfordshire in 2 weeks' time.
Lovely. So I'll let you be, and I'll let you go on the rest of your day. Have an amazing time at Peter's.
Thank you very much. Take care.
And you.
Join the conversation.
Hashtag listen local.
In Tune Radio.
Hey, my name is Christiana Nancy from Mukasi Foods, and we're based in Telford.
Nice. And what is it that you do? Just tell us about the story.
Afro-Caribbean food. So I try not to do just... I'm a Ghanaian, but I try not to do just Ghanaian food. It's just a... spread out what I do. So I do a bit of Caribbean, a bit of South African, and then the rest of West African food.
Nice. And what would you say your favorite dish is?
It's really a tricky question when people ask me, but I'll go for jerk chicken.
Nice.
And then curry goats, simply because the chicken curry is a bit sweet and I'm not a sweet person.
Yeah.
But lots of people like it, but I'll go for jerk chicken and the curry goats.
Nice. And have you got a Facebook page, and have you got a website that people can go to?
Yeah, I've got a Facebook page. It's Afro-Caribbean Cuisine on Facebook, Mukasi Foods on Instagram, Mukasi Foods on Twitter, and my website is not very good, but I've got a website there.
Yes, fantastic. And what are you hoping to gain out of today?
Oh, have a very good day, very fruitful day. It's always been a good festival for us. We've always sold out by 3 o'clock. So hopefully that's the plan again today, this weekend, to sell out by 3 o'clock.
Nice.
And make people happy. At the end of the day, it's about the money, but I also want to make people happy and let people try my kind of food.
Yes, no, yeah. That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for taking time out today to speak to us.
Join the conversation.
Hashtag listen local.
In Tune Radio.
Hi Claire, nice to meet you.
And you too.
How are you enjoying the day so far?
Really loving it. It's so vibrant. There's so many different stalls, activities, music going on, great coffee, food tasting.
That's important, the coffee.
Brilliant. That's a really great start
to the
day.
What sort of food are you looking to try?
Well, I've already tried Japanese chicken.
Yeah.
And we're going to work up, my friend Lynn is with me, and we're going to work our way around the stalls and have a look at everything.
Good.
And then where are the little tasting sessions? We're going to taste them.
Get some of those freebies in there.
I want to get those and taste different food as well, because that's what coming here is about.
Exactly.
Try something different.
Try something different.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you've got a bit of a story you want to tell and somebody you want to give a shout out to, somebody who deserves a shout out, so I hear.
Oh, for sure. Now, that's Marion at the Shropshire Cat Rescue, SCR, up at Bayston Hill.
Yeah.
I've been a volunteer there for about a year and a half.
Yeah.
And I help with the cats and I do gardening there as well. And
lovely.
I love the place.
Yeah.
Marion has just been awarded the British Empire Medal.
Yeah.
And she was very surprised. And it was lovely talking to her about that. And she said, but, you know, I just put my heart into this. This is what I've been doing for all these years.
Yeah.
There's a great team of volunteers. It's a big charity. We're rescuing cats, kittens. They get looked after. They have high vets bills. They do TikTok, you know, like excerpts and stuff to basically raise the awareness in this area and afar as well. We've had visitors from Belgium in our last open day. Next open day is on the 2nd of July.
Yeah.
And it might be full up, I don't know, but have a look at that.
Yeah.
But the place is so inspiring because everyone does what they're doing because they love what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I feel that there's a great freedom to enjoy patting the cats. You know, you've got cats milking you, the free rangers.
Lovely.
You've got little Rudy, who Marion Hanrid, who runs around licking food and then playing with toys and being mischievous.
Yeah.
And then I'm helping to grow plants and vegetables that we can then sell and raise funds.
Brilliant.
Because
there's a
garden behind the facility.
Yeah.
And Marion's also got some rescue pigs and Shetland ponies.
Oh,
amazing.
And it's not just cats. There's so much going on.
There's so much going on there to see as well.
It sounds like Marion throws herself into it as do yourself.
Yeah.
What's her actual role? Is she like the leader?
She's the chairman of the charity.
Yeah, yeah. And
where it is allows the cats to have to be free rangers within the facility.
Yeah.
And then we have a retirement village for the old moggies or moggies that have got little health problems. So we're always trying to raise funds so that we can actually provide the level of care for these animals. But let's not miss out the fact that, you know, we've got a little hospital, we've got a nursery, we've got other pens, and people can apply online to adopt.
Yeah.
And we do get overrun sometimes, but Marion's always of the mind that we'll do our very best.
Yeah.
She'll do her very best to take in
what she can,
her very best to get them rehomed. But there's a massive team of volunteers, so a big shout out to all the volunteers at SCR.
Amazing. Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
Cheers. Have a great day.
All the best.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Join the conversation.
# listen local.
In Tune Radio.
So I'm joined at Shrewsbury Festival by a guy who's checking out what other eateries are doing, because he's put himself on the path of something similar. Paul.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us.
Hi Wayne, how are you?
I'm absolutely ecstatic. I'm really pleased because I recognise you and we're mates from the past.
A blast from the past today to see you, that's for sure.
But interestingly, it's not just us, like we've linked up and that sort of thing. You're actually doing something similar to a lot of why the food festival is
absolutely,
a food festival.
Absolutely,
you're creating a food van yourself.
Yeah, we are. So we're from Poco Cantina. That's our brand name.
Yes.
And that's what we're going under. We took the plunge. We decided, you know what? It's an adventure that we want to go down the route of. There was the market at the moment in terms of to buy a restaurant. It's not in our area, but we want to serve a great food. We want to make sure that people have the opportunity to try different types of tapas.
Yeah.
And it's a passion that I've got, that we've got. And so hopefully the food van is start to finish our own project, and then the food is the next part of the project. So all in all, we're down here today just to see what's going on, to enjoy what some people have got on offer and see where we can fit in.
Oh, wow. I mean, it's such an exciting project, you know? So you're creating a whole brand. You've obviously got a passion for certain cookery elements.
Yes, tapas. Absolutely.
I'm an absolute big fan of tapas. So you're going on this massive journey. Has tapas influenced you in some way?
I'm half Spanish.
Okay.
My mum is the Spanish side of the family. Grown up, you know, from my mum, my auntie, eating those types of cuisine or that type of cuisine. I mean, there were some things which I really liked and some things which I really didn't like. But do you know what? It's about now finding what we can serve out to people of Shropshire, West Midlands, beyond. And I think the fact that, you know, when we go to a food festival, you want to try food that's, you know, a little bit. You don't want to buy a big meal. You want to go around and snack and have a drink.
Absolutely.
Be social.
Yeah.
And that's what tapas for me is all about. It's being social and having the opportunity to eat good food. And so, yeah, hopefully this is where we fit in, and hopefully Poco Cantina goes a long, long way.
I really hope it does as well. It sounds like an amazing concept. I love that kind of food, as I've already said.
Absolutely.
You know, I think the festival will be a better place having you on site.
Oh, won't stop it. I'll stop it.
So, if people want to find out more, can they find you on Facebook?
Yes, we're on Facebook as Poco Cantina, and also on our Instagram as well. At the moment, you'll see the journey of how the Poco, as we call her, is going from a van, which was a removals van, into a fully certified, hygiene rated kitchen. And it's going to take a couple of months to get there. But this is what we wanted to do. We're taking our time. Myself and my partner, we're both teachers. This is very much a weekend job. And then we'll get there. And then eventually we're going to start slow and we'll build it up. So we're not going to run before we can walk. And we just enjoy what we do with no pressure. But at the same time, go into weddings, festivals, food events, private hires, et cetera, et cetera. We at the end of the day, we're happy, we're content, we enjoy what we do, and hopefully people appreciate us and enjoy us just as much as we enjoy doing.
They absolutely will. And I think what you've just described is an ideal, really. It's that journey aspect, and it's about test and measure and how you can refine it so that it does service the public as you would ideally want it to. We look forward to your journey. Stay in contact.
Absolutely.
We would love to learn more about your journey as it carries on.
Great stuff. Thanks so much, Wayne. I really appreciate your time.
Pleasure.
And great to see you after so many years.
I know, great to see you, mate. Speak soon.
Yes, absolutely, mate. Take care.
Join the conversation.
# listen local.
In Tune Radio.
Steph, can you tell me a little bit more about South Help Africa, why you're here at Shrewsbury Food Festival, and the link between celebrity chefs? It's just quite a thing. It's amazing. Can you tell us a little bit more?
Yeah, of course. So South Help Africa, we are a charity. We have an office based here in Shrewsbury. The link to Shropshire is... in the 1980s, the charity was first set up by two guys who were based in Wellington and Telford. And then years later, the charity merged with a charity in Ireland who do very similar work. And that's when it became Self Help Africa. So since about 2008. And that's why we've always retained our Shropshire base, but we also have supporters in Ireland as well because of that. And so we've always had a link with the food festival. Our charity works with smallholder farmers and their families throughout sub-Saharan Africa. And it's all about helping people to grow more and earn more from their land.
Yeah.
So to become self-sufficient, it's about long-term development, sustainability. So that's the link with food, I guess. Obviously here in the UK, you know, we're very fortunate in that any food we want, we can kind of go to the supermarket and we expect that it's on the shelves. In lockdown, we experienced some shortages of things like flour and stuff like that. But in Africa, obviously climate change is having a huge impact there. There's a huge drought in East Africa at the moment, and we're helping with a lot of climate resilience work as well. So might be giving them varieties of more drought tolerant seed or diversifying crops. So crops that are, you know, less reliant on water, and techniques and things like that. And Chris Burt, being a local chef, he actually grew up in Africa. His mum ran some kitchens there.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So he's got a background there. So in 2009, he joined us for a fundraising trip in Uganda, and he came to see some of our work and meet the beneficiaries. And so we've always had a partnership with him. He's a bit of a chef ambassador for us. And so there's a natural link, really, between us and the chef school here. So people come along, they can cook with the professionals, and all the money goes to South Africa. So we're very grateful.
It is an amazing thing. So is this something that is replicated throughout
the UK, or is this mainly Shropshire focused?
So I think because our office is here in Shrewsbury, we've built a lot of relationships and networks with the Shropshire foodie kind of scene. So it's something we would love to replicate elsewhere, but we're very fortunate to kind of have those strong relationships and bonds here. So yeah, it's on our doorstep and we're proud to be part of it.
Wonderful. So yeah. If people want to find out more about this initiative, and obviously lots of initiatives with South Africa, and then you've got another presumably from the just go to the website.
Yeah, we've got a website, so selfhelpafrica.org. We've got Facebook page, Instagram, all the usual. And our office is in the town centre as well. So, yeah, you can always come and find us or come and speak to us on our stands at shows like this locally. We're always looking for volunteers. We do lots of events in Shrewsbury. We do one called Secret Supper, which is you go to three restaurants in one evening, one for a starter, another for a main, third for a dessert. You don't know where you're going or what you're eating until you arrive on the night. That's extremely popular. So if people haven't heard of the charity, a lot of people have heard of the Secret Supper dining event as well.
It sounds like a fantastic way of people, you know, the connection with food, of people enjoying food in some restaurants maybe for the first time, different ambiance as they're moving through different restaurants, and also the link with the fact that, you know, we're fortunate to be able to have the choice.
We are,
you know, it's just a fabulous way of linking the two together, and obviously the money goes to South Africa. It's just an amazing,
yeah, it's kind of home supporting away, I guess. There's a lot of local charities supported here as well, but it's great to have an international one that we're able to bring into the mix as well. So we're very grateful to Bethy, Shropshire Festivals, and Chris Burr for backing us.
Yeah, he's a good lad. Right, thank you so much. Thanks for your time.
No problem. Thank you.
Join the conversation.
# listen local.
In Tune Radio.
James, thanks for joining me today.
Pleasure.
Shrewsbury Food Festival. You're a chef here, demo chef. Yep. You've got your own restaurant in Whitchurch.
Yep.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the kind of things that you do on the day here, about your restaurant in Whitchurch?
Okay, so my restaurant's called Wild Shropshire.
Yes.
We are a strange little restaurant, in a good way. We only do a tasting menu. If you're a vegan or a vegetarian, you can tell us on your booking or allergic or anything. We essentially don't give you a menu until after you've eaten. Yeah. And we don't tell you what you're eating. We just give you what I've decided to cook that day. And it's a really nice experience.
Wow.
And it's a little bit different. It's it's definitely a different experience. But for the most part, people seem to really enjoy it. So.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's my restaurant. It's a fun little thing. Tiny, we do 14 covers. And it's fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so people have to pre-book, presumably.
Yeah, go onto the website, pre-book. I mean, we're booked a couple of months in advance.
I'm sure there's a waiting list.
Yeah, we're pretty full, which is lovely, considering we're such a different little thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you sort of tell people there's no menu, and you kind of see their face drop and go, oh, my God, what am I doing here? Why have I booked this place? But people invariably come back, so we can't be doing something too bad.
Yeah, I think so. I think it sounds really interesting. I think that intrigue element probably goes a long way as well.
Yeah, it's nice.
The reputation that people have enjoyed.
Yeah. I think, you know, firstly, you know, post-COVID, we're doing something different and people are looking for experiences now, which is, you know, what we do.
Come and talk to me.
I will do.
There you go. Post-COVID, we're doing a sort of an experience, which I think people are looking for, as opposed to just a bit of dinner. And it's very different. Because people don't know what they're eating, they react to the food and how we serve them in a different way.
Yeah.
And we've got an open kitchen, so we see everything that goes on. And there's like this little Mexican wave of heads when we take food out, and they look down, they look up, turn to the partner, say, "What do you think this is?" And it's really engaging, and it just makes a different experience. And I like it.
I think that's tremendous, isn't it? And then you're here today doing some of the demo stuff.
Yes.
And why here? Why? Why your involvement?
I mean, Shrewsbury's, you know, it's one of the, it's when I got into, I think Shrewsbury started the first year I became a chef, and I'd just done a TV show and they invited me along to one of the fringe events.
Yeah. And what TV show was that? Sorry?
It was called The Taste. Okay. I was with Nigella Lawson, Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah.
The hero Anthony Bourdain. And that was a long time ago. It's something I fell into by accident. And off the back of that, I became a chef. And Shrewsbury Food Festival was just starting then, and so it's something we've kind of been involved in because I was Shrewsbury based at the time.
Yeah,
it's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know, we do a lot of festivals, and some of them can become a little bit identikit, but Shrewsbury's always one of the standout ones in the calendar. You know, there's a few of them, and this is one of them because it's bigger, the venue's beautiful. You know, it's always really sort of well run, and Chris, you know, runs this bit really well, and the demo stage is always really packed. So.
Yeah, yeah. And the backstory with some of where the funds are going as well is tremendous. Yeah, the Self Help Africa.
Yeah, no, we've Self Help have got a table from us, and they have a table from us every year.
Yeah,
and
we're
trying out bags. It's again, it's not a charity we see around. We get millions of, you know, sort of requests for, but you know, Steph every year gives me a call and we have a conversation and she gets a table.
Fantastic. So, I mean, booked out again.
Yep.
Solid.
It was good.
Always a great atmosphere in this tent. And I think it is
carnage.
One of the most...
Carnage.
And it's a high footfall. Everyone comes and is around the edges, having a look, see what's going on, supporting. It's a fabulous thing.
No, it's nice. And you know what? We live in this little bubble, you know. I work on my own, so I turn up in the morning, I cook all day. It's all very controlled. You know, I do exactly what I want, how I want it. And so to come here and do something with 20 people who maybe don't cook or, you know, don't cook the way I cook, and to try and do it in a field, in a tent, with a gas hob. It takes you out of that bubble. It's a really nice experience to sort of, it just pushes you as a person.
Yeah, it's a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, and just change things up and do something exciting. So it's just nice to come. And you know what, we cook it, it's a Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, I've had a burger from Wall Street Kitchen, and I've done some cooking.
One.
Oh my God, they're incredible.
Are they?
If you look, every single chef today will go to those guys.
Really?
And there's a reason why, they're brilliant. And yeah, it's a nice way to spend an afternoon, isn't it?
It is.
A little bit of cooking, getting for free, because a bit of cooking, and away you go.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah,
have a wonderful rest of the day, and it's amazing. We're going to watch on from the sidelines.
Thank you very much for talking to me.
Thank you.
Join the conversation.
Hashtag listen local.
In Tune Radio.
I'm joined here by Chris and his wife, who runs the children's chef school on site here at Shropshire Festivals. Can you tell me a little bit more about what you're doing today? The festival's in its 10th year. Have you been here 10 years? Tell us a little bit more about what you're doing and why you're doing it.
This is specifically my 10th year.
Yeah.
And my 7th year doing the chef school and the chef's demo, but it's the first year that we've done a proper no-cook school.
No-cook school.
And it's something that Jo was really keen, really passionate to, you know, she really, really wanted to do it for a long time. And this is the first year we got it off the ground, and it means we've got double the team, but it's been fantastic. Great response and sold out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Big time. And the kids are having loads of fun over there.
Yeah, yeah. So how many children get to get involved with...
It's supposed to be up to 16. When I left my last class, it was 22.
Wow. Okay. So very popular. Oversubscribed.
Well, it was walk-ins, and we just managed to count up, right, we've got this, we can do it.
Yeah.
Because we're raising money for charity, just a different charity to what Chris is doing for this, for the normal cook school.
Yeah, okay. And what charity are you raising funds for?
We're doing it for Shropshire Fostering.
Okay. And is there a reason for why that charity is selected, or?
We adopted our son 7 years ago.
Oh, beautiful, right, okay.
And
he now works for us.
He's working in the main cook school and does a lot of running. But it was just something really important.
Yeah, and my charity is Self Help Africa. I've been raising money for them for over 12 years. I've been to Uganda, did the marathon for them.
Yes.
Done Secret Supper, and every year, you know, they call me, and of course, I'm there to raise as much money as we actually can.
Yeah, okay, cool. So the premise is basically people pay...
£7.50
to,
and that goes to Self Help Africa.
Yeah.
And with mine, we're doing £5 for the kids, and that goes to... The proceeds go to Shropshire Fostering.
Yeah, okay, cool. And then if people want to get involved, who are listening to this, and obviously the festival is over, what can they do?
They need to contact Shropshire Festivals, sign up for the volunteers thing. I mean, this is only one arm of what Shropshire Festivals do.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's Kids Fest, there's Oktoberfest, which we do, again, in the quarry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's always getting bigger and bigger every year.
Exactly. It's exactly that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Oktoberfest is just like one big party.
Yeah.
Obviously, this is more family-oriented, which is fantastic because we've got different zones throughout the area. But naturally, this is the biggest marquee on site, for a start.
Wow.
This is the one that has the most visits, most footfall, and it's obviously the one with the most interest because everybody wants to cook along, and especially with the people that we draw in.
Yeah.
Jean-Christophe is a personal friend of ours.
Oh, wow.
As is every single chef that comes here. We handpick them.
Yes.
Because we only want the ones that we know that are going to be amazing and really are supporters of this festival and love it.
Yeah.
JC, Jean-Christophe, this is his favourite festival in the calendar.
He actually asks to be here, really, and you know he might change his mind when he meets me.
But this is just fantastic.
What I love, though, is it's a family festival, and gradually this was Chris's thing. Gradually I came on board. Then obviously when we got Ethan, I backed off. Because he wasn't.
Now
he's doing it as well.
Yeah.
So he's actually doing his work experience. Ethan's
replaced Joe in the cookery school, and he's great for somebody who's 14 years old, and he starts his internship in a few weeks' time with Beth, so he can eventually go on to be an events coordinator.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cool. And the connection with Self Help Africa. So
I was born in West Africa.
You were born in West Africa.
Yeah, I was born in Sierra Leone.
Oh right. Okay.
Lived all over West Africa, but you know, Africa's dear to my heart.
Yeah.
I travelled there just pre-pandemic to start writing my second book straight out of Africa. Trying to get a book published during the pandemic with shipping costs and whatnot. but I went to a few countries, and some were ones I just wanted to revisit. And I actually did a few pop-up restaurants in Gambia, in the Gambia.
Wow.
And they were sold out. Just full of Africans. It was amazing.
Wow.
You could see the crazy white guy cooking. And you know what? They loved it.
Yeah.
One in someone's kitchen as well.
Yeah. It was fantastic. But, you know, sold out events.
Yeah.
Again, raising money for Self-Help Africa.
Yeah. Okay. And so all of the chefs that you draw in realise what the cause is and the contrast there, you know, from the stark reality of we have food in abundance and we're very fortunate in that regard. And obviously
Self-Help Africa is not just about sending food. It's about giving them the tools to grow their own food.
Yes.
You know, agriculture, infrastructure, and learning farming techniques that, you know, because all over Africa, they're very, very different climate zones.
Yeah.
So therefore, you know, in some countries, such as Uganda, it's a very different approach to that of equatorial West Africa, where food is in abundance, but it's not necessarily the food that they need to sustain themselves.
Yes, right, okay.
So it's about being savvy.
Yeah.
I mean, I got to visit some facilities that have been set up, and they were in their, like, 10th year, and they were amazing communities. And they were predominantly run by the women. That's naturally because the men don't really do anything. But then there were ones we saw that were literally just getting off the ground. And then we saw ones that had applied for it. And, they were in abject poverty. And to see the positive results of that through to fruition has been, an experience in art.
Yeah, very rewarding. Wonderful. Well, look, thank you for your time.
No
Enjoy worries. The rest of your day.
All you want to do is speak to JC. He's on his way. Don't worry. It's always late. He's like a bus, though. He will turn up.
Thank you for your time today, and look forward to catching up again soon.
Fab. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Join the conversation.
Hashtag listen local.
In Tune Radio.
I'm joined today by Jean-Christophe Novelli. Thank you for taking the time.
It's a pleasure.
To speak with us today. Lovely to see you. You're running some demos today. You're involved with Shrewsbury Food Festival for a little while now. Can you tell us a little bit more about why the involvement? Why Shrewsbury?
Well, why? Because I think Shrewsbury is definitely one of the most exciting weekend festival that I am normally used to go to. I'm very fortunate as a Frenchman going around the UK, United Kingdom, up to Northern Ireland, everywhere, where I can, you know, participate to so many. But Shrewsbury is definitely one of the most finest, the most, I don't know how I can explain that. First, it's very well run, which is, you can see that immediately when you step in. It's very well, it's a package. It's a great recipe.
Yeah.
In term of, I'm always like the guest demonstrator or whatever, but I always think as if I came with my wife, my kids, perfect. I know. I mean, it doesn't even cost you 20 quid to come in.
Yeah.
And it's not even 20 quid at all. It's less than that. But what I'm saying is what you get for that price in one day.
Yeah.
And plus you get a tan on the top of that. Every time I come to Shrewsbury, it's always nice and sunny.
It is always sunny for the food festival. Your involvement, you know, you got the demo stage, it's always packed out. It's Self-Help Africa as well. The funds go to. So the connection with you there, is that a charity that you would normally support? Or Is it the kind of thing that's encouraged you to get more involved?
You know, it's like I am like many people. I am one of many people there is around who are doing things that nobody ever thought they are involved with. So I have been involved with SOS Village since 1994.
Wow, right.
And I've been involved not just, you know, giving 10 quid. I don't do that.
Yeah.
I do a lot more than that. So I was the patron.
Oh, wonderful.
In the village, one of the accommodations, which was two mothers in charge, and they were about 22 children's kids from the age of 6 months to 10 year old. Mm-hmm. That was already in 1994. So that means obviously you go over, I mean, you that was in South Africa, of course. When I say of course, it's because SOS Children Village is actually firstly mainly founded over in South Africa. And it's fantastic what they do. It's extraordinary. So sometime occasionally I will have, I remember in the 90s, phone calls, not like now, sadly. We did not have this modernization of communications, but I used to have a list for Christmas for the kids, you know, a football, two ducks, one TV. Honestly, it was just whatever they want. I just do whatever they want. And so it was a list of things. I think I wish I did it early on that, but yeah. I only managed to discover this specific charity. Which is obviously based in Africa.
Yeah.
And it's not just Africa, by the way. It's everywhere around the world. So there's always someone who needs something. And it's only because I was doing a festival over there. I was representing Great Britain, believe it or not. And I discovered that something was not right or missing. So I got involved and I realized at first it was just a photo shoot. And I said, no, I don't just do a photo shoot. Mm. And then I become, they actually named me as a patron, which I didn't even know.
Wow.
Yeah, they put a plaque on the outside. And it's not that, it's not for the glory. It's the fact that has actually insinuated or allowed to inspire somebody else to do the same.
Of course.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So obviously it's been a lot of people going in that area where I was, and they saw my name, said, oh, you can be a patron. Therefore, I want to be a patron too. That's what I mean. It's the motive, the motivation. And always give back.
Oh, I think so. And I think I sense the warmth just by being around you, really. I sense that kind of community spirit and the fact that, you know, you're in a good position to actually influence positivity further down the line. I think that's an incredible thing to do. What have you got coming up, you know, later in the year, or what plans do you have as a celebrity chef, maybe?
Well, I'm not a celebrity, but I'm a chef. I'm passionate. So basically speaking, my restaurant in Belfast, we are just launching the terrace.
Yeah.
So we have an alfresco outside area, which is absolutely fantastic. So if you ever want to come to Belfast, let's do a bit of advertising.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Belfast, the Northern Ireland, is absolutely fantastic. So many people who've never been there or haven't been for years, it's just another world. And so there's a lot of things to go to. And we just opposite the Titanic Museum.
Wow, right.
Talking about the Titanic, especially now.
It's very topical at the moment.
So we are just opposite. The place is called the AC Marriott Novelli City Key.
Uh-huh.
So we are on this. We're changing bits and pieces in my cookery school. So renovations, changing the whole recipes again. That's exciting because people love what we do. So, to be honest.
People could travel the world basically to come to your school, don't they?
They do.
Yeah.
Some of them do, And it's funny, they come with suitcases. And sometimes, because I'm not too sure who's coming in the cookery school, I don't want to know too much in advance. I want to meet people face to face.
Yeah.
And looking at the size of the suitcases, this is a true story, by the way. You can see they come from Australia or coming from Norway or wherever.
Yeah.
But we had even French people come to see me.
No.
Yeah. And that's where I know I'm doing well now. For the French to come and see me, that means good news.
Yeah. They want to be better cooked.
And they don't call me Jean-Claude or Jean-Paul. No, that's great. No, I mean, there is a lot of things planned. I mean, the freshest things happening is on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
I am part again and very, with all privilege, of the new TV series called Cooking with the Stars.
Oh, well, wonderful.
That's right. Series number 3, the third series, which obviously is doing very well.
Yeah.
So we're back with a new lots of chefs. And also a new selection of celebrities, equally as exciting as last year.
Yeah.
And I mean that, by the way. So we have 4 new chefs joining in. And it was very tough. That was hard. So we had a good go out of all of us. So it's not just the contestant. I mean, the celebrities cooking against each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Until the final, if you're lucky enough to be on the final. It is also between chefs.
Wow.
You know, you're competing against, you know, you are teaching a celebrity to cook, which is a great format, by the way.
Yeah.
It's absolutely a genius.
Yeah.
Just that you're not cooking yourself. You're just passing on messages.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you got time to prep, obviously, to give the teaching well before the filming. And then you are in a studio and you're banging on like trying to save your life, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
So to the point where you hate each other. That chap, I mean, that chap or the girl, the one of the chef girls or the chap chef who is against you, you don't like him anymore.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah. The lines are drawn. The lines are drawn.
Yeah, that's it. I want to win and I want my celebrity to do well. And the same with the celebrity.
Yeah.
So it was a very interesting. In fact, I'm going to give you a few names. In fact, I'm going to give you one name only.
Name
of celebrity who turned up this year. Purely because when I saw him, all of them were fantastic. Last year was superb.
Yeah.
And you know, you're joining yourself. Who's going to be next year? Who's going to be that? Because you need to choose and pair the chef and the celebrity. That's not an easy job.
No.
It's not like you and you together, you look together, go. No, it's not. So you got to find the psychology and the gelling situation. So I've got to go on the stage in a minute.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we had out of the 8, super celebrities. We had one. When I saw him, I could not believe to see him in the room to learn to cook. He's a world champion. And for me, he is a world champion. I met Mike Tyson. I met the whole lot.
Yeah.
But I've never met Chris Eubank before in my life.
Oh, wow.
And it was Chris Eubank.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine the size of his hands trying to use a five-pound. Unbelievable.
Oh,
unbelievable.
He's very a meticulous character, isn't he?
He is, yeah. He's got a good philosophy, you know. So just watching him, you cannot miss him, I swear. And he was paired with Jack Stein, who is a fantastic mentor.
Yeah.
Great knowledge. Anyway, I'm going to go. I love you all.
Oh, I wish you're so kind.
Of course you can. It's 10 quid for the selfie, by the way. Give it for charity.
Thank you ever so much.
You're an absolute legend.
All the best.
Thank you so much, sir.
Au revoir.
Join the conversation.
# listen local.
InTune Radio.
Good morning, Holly.
Morning.
How are you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good, enjoying the festival?
Yes, we've had a really good show.
Brilliant. And we're here at your stand, Holly Child Art, watercolour animal artist.
Yes, that's
me. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
So I paint all of my artwork in watercolours. It's all inspired by my life in Shropshire, my love of wildlife and all of my pets from when I was growing up. And my granddad used to breed cattle and we had a small holding.
Yeah.
So I've just always been in love with animals.
That's amazing. It's reflective in what you do. I can see your love for animals. So you've got watercolour paintings, you've got chopping boards and cushions and even lampshades.
Yes.
And you produce them all.
Yeah, so I produce them all. So from my artwork, I scan them. Then I get all my products made in the UK. I like to work with other little small businesses. And my cushions and lampshades, they're handmade by my mum.
Your mum?
Yeah, she's got back into realising she's very good at sewing. She can't paint, but she can sew.
They look pretty good. Well done, mum.
Yeah.
So how did you get into it?
So I studied art all through school, just always been in love with creating anything, and went to university and studied fine art. Then after I graduated, graduated, I worked in John Lewis while I set my business up, and I've been doing it for 7 years full time now.
Amazing. And you come to the festival every year?
Yes. Yeah. It's always one of our favourite shows. It's so lovely.
There's so many people as well, isn't there?
And yeah, and everyone's dead friendly, and the sun shining makes it even better.
Can't ask for better than that.
No, you can't.
I think it's going to rain today.
Yeah, possibly.
It's all right, you're undercover. Yeah. So
you're safe. Might call everyone down.
Thank you very much, Holly. Have a lovely day.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Join the conversation.
# listen local.
In Tune Radio.
So I found you here at the Rum Bar. Mm-hmm. So how long have you been working here for?
Just yesterday and today. Yeah.
Oh, really? So you're just quite new to the hospitality, are you? Or
no, quite experienced in hospitality. I worked in a bar at university, but yeah, just helping out a friend this weekend.
So with your many years of experience, then, so what is the funniest thing you've ever seen on bar?
Funniest thing I've ever seen? Well, I worked in Swansea, so it was more just fights and things, to be honest. It was less funny. But
so what about today, then, or yesterday? So what's the funniest thing you've seen so far at the Shrewsbury Food Festival?
Just a lot of drunk, middle-aged people, really. nothing really. But I hadn't worked in a bar for a while, so it was really nice to be back amongst the action.
Lovely.
Yeah, no, nothing too hilarious.
So have you been to Shrewsbury Food Festival before? Or
nope, first time.
First time.
Indeed.
So I'm guessing you don't live in Shrewsbury then?
I do not, no.
So where have you come from?
I've come from Oxford, all the way down south. Yeah.
Oh, all the way from Oxford?
Indeed.
Just to work down at the gym bar?
Just to work with Darren at the gym bar, indeed.
Oh, lovely. So I noticed you've got two bars here.
Yep.
So
yeah,
is it the same company?
Same company, yeah. So one just sort of specialises in rum, and then the other one is sort of mainly gin. We actually launched a new gin a couple of days ago as well, Shrewsbury Gin, and it's proved very popular. So,
wonderful.
Yeah, it's gone down a tree.
So amazing. So what's your name?
Sam yes. Andrew.
Oh, lovely. So lovely to meet you. I see you've got quite a queue forming here at the Rum Bar, so I should leave you to it.
Indeed.
And enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you very much.
Join the conversation.
# listen local.
In Tune Radio.
Good afternoon, Sten.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good, good. How's your day been?
It's been a productive day.
Good. Yeah. Productive weekend overall?
Overall, it's not too bad. The rain didn't help today.
No, it was a bit of a washout for a bit, but it has come back to life.
Yes.
So, cool. So we're at your stall, the Creative Station. Can you tell us a little bit about what you do?
Sure. We're a local company based in Condover.
Yeah.
And we manufacture retro gaming stations.
Yeah.
Basically out of an oil drum. So we do a lot of other furniture out of oil drums as well. So the idea came around about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
We done a corporate event with a sister business of ours.
Yeah.
And they asked for everything retro. So when we come away from the event, we put our brains together. And my son, who was a designer, he actually designs and puts all these together and makes them.
And it's all family inputted, is it?
It's all family inputted and staff as well now.
Wow, amazing. And what sort of, I mean, look, I can see all the games. They've got Street Fighter 2, what's this one, Donkey Kong?
Donkey Kong, you've got Pac-Man, Space Invaders, all your favourites from the 80s.
Is it tend to be like businesses that are buying these, like their offices? Or
it's everyone, to be fair. We sell a lot to businesses for the chill out rooms. We do a lot for man caves. We do a lot of export orders as well, worldwide.
I can imagine. So it's quite interesting. Like, I would never have thought to make something out of an oil drum. Who came up with the actual idea itself?
Yeah, again, that would probably be my son. To be
really? Is he here today?
He's on his way down.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's on his way down to help pack it all away.
Come and clear up afterwards.
Clear up and get ready for the orders next week.
Right, okay. So you're taking some details today for orders?
Yeah, we're taking orders this weekend, and then a couple of weeks' time, we're off to Goodwood Festival this week.
Oh, amazing. Is there anything else that you'd like to share? What are the other sort of furniture that you make out of the orders?
We do the seats now as well.
Here as well, yeah.
Yeah, we do seats. We do a beer pump station. We do a nice pizza oven now as well.
Oh, and that's the one with the built-in fridge?
That's got a built-in fridge. We also the pizza oven is a gas pizza oven.
Oh,
so you put the pizza oven actually in the drum, so it's all concealed.
Yeah.
And we also do a nice 4000 game model, and it's got a display cabinet in it, a mirror display cabinet.
Oh, wow. Very clever. It's all good stuff. Thank you so much for your time, Steph.
No worries. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you very
Cheers.
Much.
Cheers. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Join the conversation.
# listen local.
In Tune Radio.
Good afternoon, James.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Are you enjoying the festival?
I'm loving the festival. I love coming here and being a part of it. So, yeah, loving it.
Despite the fact we're talking post-downpour, people have come back out and they're in the queues and they're They seem happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's not too bad.
Just had a torrential downpour, and it's everyone's returning, which is good.
So you run Get Your Wiggle On.
I do.
You're one of the co-owners, founders.
That's correct. Yeah.
Cool. Can you tell us a bit about what Get Your Wiggle On do?
Sure. So we are Get Your Wiggle On. We're a musical theatre company in Shrewsbury.
Yeah.
And we put on lots of shows at the local theatre, yeah. 7, and other venues as well. And we also train and work with people ages 4 to 104, so every age in Shropshire.
No limit.
No limit, absolutely. You can be as old as you want. And we run musical theatre classes. We sing, we dance, we act.
Yeah.
And yeah, basically everything that, all the magic that comes with performing.
Yeah. Okay. So how did you get into it?
Oh, wow. So I've always loved this kind of realm all my life. And I wanted to perform when I was a kid. And I always tell the story. So back in 2000 and either 10 or 11, myself and my partner, who runs Get Your Wiggle On with me, Ross, mm-hmm. we held auditions for The Wizard of Oz mm-hmm. at Mealbrae School.
Yeah.
And we needed about 20 kids to join us to be munchkins. So we thought, we'd be lucky if we get like 30 kids audition. And that was our goal. We put an advert in the Shropshire Star.
Yeah.
And we had over 100 kids turn up, I think like 108 or something like that. So we were like, wow, there's definitely a demand for, you know, performance opportunities for people yeah. in Shropshire. So we started to launch a couple of classes, and then that kind of snowballed very quickly. And yeah, here we are today, and we have a, you know, lots of classes and two studios, and we perform,
oh, two studios,
yeah, four loads in, you know, within Shropshire.
So it's built up over the years.
Absolutely, yeah, lots of hard work, dedication,
and lots of interest from people to come and join in.
So we have people from Wrexham, Oswestry, Mid Wales, Birmingham, who travelled to Shrewsbury to be a part of it. Yeah, we're really blessed and really fortunate.
That's really good. And I think it's a good thing. I mean, I probably wouldn't be able to do it.
I'm sure you could.
I don't know if I'm confident enough, but
I'm sure you're confident.
I guess you get people come to you who sort of use it as a good way to build it.
Yeah, we are definitely a stepping stone to work in the professional industry.
Yeah.
And for people who also just want to build their confidence, whether it's, you know, sometimes a child might just want to build their confidence at school enough to ask a question in class or just deliver a presentation. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, brilliant. And what sort of shows are you doing at the moment?
So we have the Full Monty on in early July with our adult cast. And I am also involved
in that one?
Taking my clothes off. And that's a new experience
for me. Are you keeping your hat on?
very good. We'll see. I'll have to buy a ticket to see. So that's in July. Which is it's exhilarating, exciting and scary. And then we're doing Matilda as a 2-week workshop performance yeah. in the summer holidays.
Yeah.
And then we're back in the autumn with Annie. We've got SpongeBob SquarePants the musical,
that's
which is
relentless.
Oh, we do loads.
You don't stop.
And then we've got Kinky Boots and Phantom of the Opera, which are two big ones with our adults. So
amazing. I think I came to see one of your shows a couple of years ago, Shrek the Musical.
Yes,
I loved it.
Oh, thank
it
you. Yeah,
so
that was great fun.
Brill. Is there anything else you'd like to share about Get Your Wiggle On?
I mean, yeah, if you are looking to get involved in, you know, anywhere within the performance industry, whether it's performing yourself or behind the scenes,
yeah.
come and get, you know, pop in and get in touch.
Okay.
We have two studios. One is down by Victoria Quay, down by the Armory.
Yeah.
And then another one in the Square.
Okay.
And we're open kind of 6-7 days a week.
Yeah.
And we also run a costume hire company, which is nationwide.
Oh.
And possibly, you know, further afield soon. So we're a growing company. And,
nice.
You know, we'd love to meet anyone who wants to get involved, really.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, James.
Thank you for having
me. Have a good day.
And
thank you.
Join the conversation.
# listen local.
In Tune Radio.
So, we're at Shrewsbury Food Festival. We're having a fantastic day. Monks are supporting the home and garden section. Frogmorton Associates, Nick, has joined us. So he's here now on a bit of a family occasion. Wonderful to see you two together, because your power networks around Shrewsbury. So can you tell me a little bit more about the sponsorship and why you sponsor the home and garden section? And maybe, Nick, about what you're doing here and what's happening with the family and why coming, you know, why come to the festival in itself?
Yeah, we've been sponsors now. This is the 10th year in,
wow.
So we've been with Beth since the start. Proud sponsors of such a fantastic event. We've been sponsoring the Home and Gardens now for probably 3 years.
Okay.
Prior to that, in various sort of guises here. And we also sponsor the best seat in the house, the toilets.
Is that how you phrase a residential property? Is come in and see the bathroom because the royal seat is there for approval.
Absolutely. But we took a bit of a pun on it because it's our toilet board with an eye in the middle of it.
Of course.
So toilets.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I mean, amongst estate agents, you're based in Shrewsbury. You have an office in Oswestry.
And Wem.
So people can come to you and find their ideal property, and you've mentioned a to let and to buy as well.
Yep, absolutely. Yep, that's what we're here for. Got lots of houses throughout the county. Cover lots of new developments as well. So, we're here bringing people and property together.
And why would people select Monks over other estate agents, would you say?
Because we're the best team, Team Green.
Wonderful. And for people to find out more, presumably they'll find you on the website. What would your website address be?
It's monks.co.uk, or you can email me direct at judy@monks.co.uk.
Wonderful. Thank you. And Nick? A fellow networker from Morton Associates, you're here. You're on the other side. You're not here for business today.
No, absolutely no. So brought the family today. Lots of celebrations and a great way to do it, to get everybody together.
Yeah, okay. So you're here enjoying the event, sampling the food.
Yep.
Catching up with some existing acquaintances and having a bit of fun.
Yeah, it's all about fun. So today we've got someone who's within the family with a 65th birthday. Same lady's retiring, mother-in-law, is retiring next week.
Oh, wonderful.
A sister-in-law has got a 40th birthday. And we've got the three generations of the family here. So we've got nephews and nieces that are enjoying all the kids' stuff. We've got adults who are enjoying the grown-up stuff.
Yeah.
And then we're just trying to follow them around, really, and just grab me to have a chat.
Is there a favourite area of the festival that you gravitate to?
For this one, not particularly. No, it's all good. And with such a widespread family, it's nice that everyone enjoys different things and we all enjoy watching them having fun. So,
yeah.
So we come along and just spend time in the kids' zone. Some of the family now have gone on the kids' cookery shows. They've gone off and done that
lovely
stuff.
They've
pre-booked and they're in there. So it's great. And everyone else enjoys having fun with them on a great family day out.
Yeah. And the family aspect is definitely here. We've spoken to so many different people and they say that this is such a family-orientated occasion that, of course, there is something for everybody, that the children can enjoy their time and the parents can have a bit of a break. Yeah. And there's some great food and drink samples out there for them as well. So it's a wondrous occasion. So could you tell me a little bit more about Throgmorton Associates, your financial advisors?
So financial advisors, originally Nick Jones Wealth Planning. We built up the business over 14 years or so and then merged with Throgmorton. We were based in Leicestershire, so now we've got a structure in Leicestershire. The Shrewsbury office is thriving and busier as ever.
Yeah.
We cover across the Midlands, so we have clients quite further afield, really.
Yes.
But we're busier than ever. The idea with the move was to get some management help, so it wasn't just me trying to do everything, and that's worked really well. So now we've got specialists doing different things.
Cool.
We've got an operations director that just does the practice stuff.
Yeah.
And we've got lots of advisors, 15 advisors now across the country, and bringing in newer ones because we know the old ones will be retired at a point. So it's all about succession planning and making sure that the clients have got someone they can trust and that will care for them in the long term.
And you're quite community focused, not just as a company, but yourself. You're always people come to you for advice. I know they do.
Yeah.
You're an established kind of business personality, if you like, in the structure networking scene.
Bless you.
What else are you up to at the moment?
Oh, all sorts, really. So the business. It does look to the outside world. The only thing we're promoting at the moment is the fact that we're doing a golf challenge.
Yes.
But actually, you know, you've got to practice for that, and then that's time away from work. But sometimes it's including work, sometimes it's networking. We did a charity thing in Northampton on Friday that helped me raise money for the St. James's Foundation. And we love playing golf, but not everyone in the practice plays golf. We do work lots as well. So I was in the office on Saturday morning because I played golf on Friday. You know, we compensate for it.
Balance it.
But we've got a challenge coming up on the 4th of August, which is for Prostate Cancer UK. And we're playing four rounds in one day. And with 18 holes, sometimes you can be quite tired. 36 holes is generally the most you'll ever play in one day.
Yes.
So to play twice that, it's going to be a real challenge.
I don't think I would have left hole one or two in that amount of time in total. I'm terrible at golf. I tend to hit more of the turf. and create quite a dust field for others. So it just sounds like an incredible event.
It's equivalent to walking a marathon.
Oh, wow,
In actual steps.
Oh, my word.
And we've got a challenge going on. Anyone wants to sponsor us? We've got a challenge going on. They guesstimate how many shots we'll have between the four of us all day combined. And it's going to be between 1,200 and 2,000 total shots. But we don't know because we've never done it before.
I mean, if it was me, it'd be 10,000, 15,000. I'll probably have like really achy wrists by the end of it.
And legs and arms and shoulders.
On the 19th hole, I will.
Oh, right. Okay, you're going, are you, to support?
On the 19th hole.
Hopefully, that sounds like a contract you've just said you will be there.
Yes, so that's
it. I've got no idea what time it'll be. It might still be daylight. It might not be. So we've got to start on the crack of dawn.
Yeah,
which
on
the 4th of August is going to be around about 5:20, 5:30. And then we're going to hopefully finish before we get started.
Yeah.
So we're playing golf all day. We're playing at Meal Brace for the first two 18 holes. And then we're playing at Condover, Shrewsbury Golf Club, for the second two 18 holes.
Where
So it's amazing challenge.
It's getting tougher the more I talk about it, actually.
I just think
oh dear, I've got to get fit. Yeah.
Well, we know you are fit, and best of luck with that event. It sounds totally amazing. Great cause. And Judy as well, thanks for sponsoring the area, because we're actually in the home and garden section as well, so your sponsorship travels.
Absolutely.
So thank you so much.
Brilliant.
Great
thank
to
you
see
too.
You here at the food festival. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Join the conversation.
# listen local.
In Tune Radio.
Morning, Pixie.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Lovely to be here. It's my first time at Shrewsbury Food Festival. I'm having a blast.
First time at the food festival,
yep.
And you're here with your stand, Pixie Glass.
Yep.
Cool. Can you just tell us a little bit about what it is that you sell and the background?
So basically, I work in what's called kiln-formed fused glass. So glass naturally wants to slump, but what I discovered is how to paint with glass, which is really quite unusual. And I can work from your photograph, I do film posters, I do all sorts of weird and wonderful. But one of the things I really, really love doing is I actually paint the human body.
Yeah.
Because that came out of my background of having suffered with body dysmorphia. So I'm really passionate about promoting body positivity, body empowerment, and making sure everyone feels included.
Amazing. All the things you've got on display here are so interesting. Can you describe anything here? I mean, you've got the paintings at the back here that are made with actual glass. Can you just explain how they're made?
It's basically, it's like playing with glitter for grown-ups. It's fab. Basically, I mean, I know you can't see this on the radio, but I've got a bag of tiny shards of ground up coloured glass, and you can get it in pretty much any colour you want, so I can paint any picture you want.
Yeah, it looks
with
like
tiny
a,
glass,
like a bag of children's like dust.
Yes.
I mean, you wouldn't want to let kids play with that, but
It is. It's like playing with glitter for grown ups.
Yeah,
because I paint the picture with glue,
mm-hmm.
and then I sprinkle the tiny pieces of coloured glass, and then spend hours flicking off the bits I don't want.
That you don't want on the. That's amazing.
To make a clean shape.
You've got the Joker there.
Yeah, Laurel and Hardy, the Crow. I've done Donnie Darko. It's a Wonderful Life. Any film you want, I can do. Bedknobs and Broomsticks is a really cool one to do.
Amazing. And if we come along a little bit here, we've got these cool looking broken fixed coasters, which are like smooth glass but broken on the inside. Can you explain story behind those?
Yeah, they were a really cool accident. The idea behind them, all the cracks are on the inside, so they're perfectly smooth and dishwasher safe to use as a normal coaster. But just like people, we've got scars, we've got cracks, but it doesn't mean we can't be beautiful and strong, and that's the message behind them.
It's a lovely story, isn't it?
Thank you.
Lovely. Is there anything else you'd like to explain? Is there any more stories to tell? There's loads of things on display here.
Part of the story actually is, you know, when COVID hit, you know how the world went off and made banana bread?
Yeah.
I got bored because I got laid off and I wasn't furloughed, and everybody else made banana bread. And I went, let's get a kiln.
Why not?
How hard can this
be? Try something different.
It turns out it's actually quite hard to learn to do glass. But I kept going. All of this came out of me being laid off at COVID.
So you've done all of this and learned all of this since COVID?
I taught myself everything.
Incredible. And now you've got your own stall at the Shrewsbury Food Festival.
I know. It's a pretty cool story.
It is a good story. Amazing. Well, good luck. Hope you get plenty of sales today.
Thank you.
And back next year, hopefully.
I hope so. I'd love to come back.
All right, brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Lovely to meet you both.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
Join the conversation.
Hashtag listen local.
In Tune Radio.
Steve, you went to our launch a little while ago at St Mary's, and everybody knows, I think, about street pastors and what they do and the value that you bring to the local community. But you're here today at Shrewsbury Food Festival. Can you tell me why you're here today? Maybe a little bit more information about the street pastors for those that don't quite know.
Yeah, sure. I mean, we were started actually 12 years ago, and it was as a response to Riverdeaths.
Right, okay.
And there was obviously a concern about doing something. So we're out at the weekend, so we're volunteers largely from churches, but we have volunteers from all over who come out. So we meet at 10 o'clock on a Friday and a Saturday night, so when most of your listeners will be getting ready to go to bed,
yeah.
We're actually donning our uniform and going out. And the whole idea about being out on the streets is about caring, listening and helping. So we can deal with a whole range of issues, from a high five because somebody wants a bottle of water. We give out the ever famous flip-flops because, of course, ladies used to dance around their handbags.
Right, okay.
Whereas now they dance around their shoes, and then they can't put their shoes on, and then they pad around barefoot. So the flip-flops come in, and then, of course, we do the lollipops as well. So that's the nice bit of the street pastors, is you can just go around and just engage with people and chat and just make sure they're okay. But it also means that we're trained, as I said in the beginning, to do river rescue.
Okay.
I've actually pulled 3 people out of the river since I've been a street pastor. So we do throw line training with Shropshire Fire and Rescue. But we're dealing more and more now with people who've got mental health issues.
Yes.
So it isn't only people that have had too much drink. So people go, oh, street pastors, you deal with people who are sick. Yes, we do. And we know when to step back so we don't get our shoes covered. But also, we can have some really difficult conversations with people. And so anybody knows that they can go, if they go to the door staff and say they're going to commit suicide, they will immediately call us. So we have the radios where we can talk to door staff, we can talk to CCTV. And you can have those conversations, and it's very much along the lines about, we do training with the Samaritans, so we do suicide prevention training. So you can have a night where you deal with that. One night we had an 80-year-old couple who didn't realise you need to pre-book a taxi. So the venue called us, and we were with them, and then it became apparent that actually they both got Alzheimer's.
Oh.
And they couldn't remember where they lived anyway.
Oh.
So that was a 2-hour really interesting conversation, but we did get them home.
Yes.
So we can deal with a whole range of things on the streets. But, I mean, the reason for being at the food festival is that it gives us a daytime presence. So we can be here to talk to people about what street pastors do. Somebody earlier on came up and said, I've picked up a leaflet, but I don't really know what street pastors is about.
Yes.
So then you can explain about how it is. And we say to anybody, if they're interested, come out one night and we put you in a high-vis vest, but you just come out and see what we do. And if at the end of that you want to carry it on, that's when the conversation continues. But if not, that's the end of the conversation.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a difficult task for our volunteers. We are desperate for people to come forward to serve in whatever capacity, whether that's a street pastor. We have donkey buddies, but we also have a donkey driver. So if somebody out there fancies driving an ex-police van, it hasn't got the blues and twos on. But, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of volunteering opportunities that we have for people to basically come out and engage with us.
Yes.
But to this type of event is fantastic because it raises the profile. And some people you can hear going past, they go, yeah, they're the street pastors, they're out at night. But and equally, there will be people who go, well, we've no idea what that's about.
Yeah, of course.
And we've just moved into a new office down by Rowley's house. We were in an office which was a gift of Shropshire Council that unfortunately came to an end. So, I mean, we are also, we're a charity, so we need to raise money. We do talks, we go out and do talks to groups. So we're happy to engage with the community in lots of different ways. But this weekend really gives us the opportunity to have some daytime engagement. And because we've been good, we got daytime passes to be out.
You're covering such a wide variety of experiences on an evening, as you say. I mean, it can be completely varied. What kind of qualities do you look for when somebody comes forward as a volunteer?
One of the challenges in some ways we have is that we're non-judgmental.
Okay.
So it's one of those things about knowing that you have people who can actually step in and help. So, I mean, we've got people from all walks of life. We've got some retired GPs. We've got people who do a whole range of stuff. But, I mean, it's much more about having somebody who can listen. And basically can have a bit of empathy with somebody about the situation they're in.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that can be really hard.
Yeah.
You know, they've got themselves into a right state and you're sort of thinking, well, you know, but it's a case of thinking, well, about how can we help you?
Mm.
And some of those challenges are quite different now because I was out 2 weekends ago and we had a lad who'd been sat down on the car park outside a venue and he'd had too much to drink and he was being sick down himself and all sorts of things, so there was an issue about trying to, you know, sort him out. But then we start a conversation and he's Polish and okay. You think, well, how on earth do we carry on this conversation?
Yeah.
So Google Translate, and you know, so we're using methods of communication that if when I started 10 years ago you'd say you'd be translating on the phone, you think that'd be silly. But it's very much about sort of, you know, having people who can actually almost get alongside somebody and just sort of, you know, show that there's a bit of care, there's a bit of love for them, and do it in a non-threatening and non-judgmental way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, people of all sorts of qualities. And, I mean, the big joy is our youngest street pastor is 18 and our oldest has just finished and she was 83.
Wow, okay.
But to have that age range of people, I mean, I'm a grandparent myself, so some people find it easier to talk to me because I am a grandparent, but other people equally are better talking to another young person.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's one of the things we'll do when we're out on the sort of the streets, they're almost sort of triaging and deciding who's best to deal with that sort of situation. And it isn't because I'm going out as a team leader that I say, well, I've got to deal with it. It's about, this is the situation. Who's the best in the team to support?
Mm-hmm.
And that way we can support each other. So we're always in a team. We never go out on our own. And we've always got the donkey as a backup vehicle.
Yeah.
So,
fascinating.
Yeah.
And fabulous work that you're doing. I really hope that you gain some further volunteership whilst here. You know, we'll obviously broadcast this interview and hopefully some right ears hear it and get in contact with you. What is the easiest way to get in contact?
If you go on to any of the search engines and put in Shrewsbury Street Pastors, it'll bring up our website.
Yes.
Just drop us an email. We are now we're going to get into QR codes. We're not quite there yet.
Okay.
But when we have a QR code, we can say to people, they can go somewhere and wave the phone.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if they email us at shrewsbury@streetpastors.org.uk and just ask for some more information. And I'm always happy to go and have coffee and cake anytime.
Anytime.
Excellent. Anywhere.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Absolute wonderful to meet you. And best of luck for the rest of the festival.
Well, thank you for what you're doing, because, I mean, you are making a real difference to charities like us by actually promoting and letting people know what we do. So thank you as well.
That's
what
you do. Well, thanks for recognising that. Very
okay. Cool.
Thank you.
Join the conversation.
Hashtag listen local.
In Tune Radio.
Morning, Laura and Mohammed.
Morning.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good. Enjoying the festival so far?
Yes, very good, yes. Lots and lots of people here, so it's great.
Good, good. And you're here to promote fire rescue in Shropshire, or just generally, I guess. What sort of things are you promoting?
So we're here today. We've got our great tent with us today, and we're here to talk about fire prevention, so how to prevent fires happening.
Okay.
Obviously, a huge amount of our, unfortunately, work that we deal with is accidental house fires. So we're here about how to prevent those fires occurring.
And what sort of tips can you give to people to try and prevent those house fires from happening?
Our biggest cause of house fires is accidental house fires in terms of unattended cooking.
Right.
So over 50% of our fires come from unattended unattended cooking. So when you're talking about tips, we're talking about staying with your cooking, not leaving it unattended, or if you were to walk away from it, if it was something in the oven, then to use a timer to remind yourself to go back to it.
Does it tend to be like gas hobs at other or ovens, or is it like a mix of both?
It's a mix of both, honest with you. Yes.
That's interesting.
Anything that you leave boiling, I'm sure many people have maybe boiled vegetables dry or eggs or things like that, but obviously the more near misses you have, the more chance you are that
I'll
you're going to have a fire.
I'll be completely honest, I have in the past, you know, put the oven on, popped away for 15 minutes and come back to it, and I think a lot of people probably do that, and they're perhaps not aware of the risks of doing that.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting to know.
A big thing for us is if you were to come back to something on fire or smoking, then what our advice is to turn off the heat source, and it's safe to do so.
Yeah.
Close the door behind you and get out and call 999.
Yeah.
We don't want you to tackle a fire yourself.
No.
Because while you're doing that, you're hindering your escape out of the property.
Absolutely. And of course, if you're trying to, you're panicking, you're trying to put something out of water and it's electrical, and you just end up in a even more bother.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. Is there anything else that you can sort of recommend that we do? Prevent these things from happening?
Yeah, it's great to see loads of people come in and approaching the fire safety stall. We saw quite a few people yesterday asking for advice on home fire safety.
Yeah.
One of the main messages for public is please, please make sure that you install a smoke alarm per floor in your property. And also, please make sure that you test your smoke alarms on a regular basis. For any further advice, please contact your local fire service.
Yeah.
A number for them is 01743-260-200.
Perfect. And these alarms, how regularly should they be tested?
They mainly, as Laura will agree, they should be tested either on a Tuesday, or on a Thursday.
That is
obviously a message for kids or for anyone really. Once a week, please do make sure if you can test your smoke alarms.
Yeah.
And it just literally takes a couple of seconds to test your smoke alarm. And all it does is it gives you a message that I'm alive, I'm awake, and I'm working. I'm just going to quickly test.
Yeah, give us a test. Let's hear it.
This is how it takes 3 seconds.
Wow. Yeah, you're not going to miss that.
Absolutely not.
And that's the whole point. So that's brilliant.
Yes,
thank you very much. Cheers.
Very much.
Thank you.
Join
the conversation.
#ListenLocal.
In Tune Radio.